This week, I see a bad movie rising as we discuss the 1996 horror movie, Bad Moon. Welcome to the Bloody Bits Horror Show. I'm your host, Eddie. The Axe Jefferson, and joining me as always, the guy looking for a dog bite, Tim Yobo. How you doing today, good sir?
There's a much better ways of making a buck than that is, right? Come on. Jesus
what a
Christ.
Terrible scam.
No. Just off the top of my head. Have the book out in your hand and have like a milkshake or something and say the kid banged into you and spilt your milkshake all over the books. Now they got to buy the set.
Yeah, exactly. Anything's a better scam than this motherfucker. Anyhow, we are here and we are second week of the year 1996, buddy, and we're talking about
by yeah,
it really is, and we're talking about Bad Moon, Tim.
Mm-hmm.
Another werewolf movie. I rarely pick werewolf movies, but this one spoke to me.
Well, I mean, that Bigfoot movie that we did, Night of the Demon, you said that did pretty decent numbers. So this is kind of like
it
a Bigfoot, right?
Yeah. You know what? I guess it's a big something. That's for damn sure. This fucking movie. Oh, my God. And I try to avoid incest in movies. I really do. But this is like Folgers commercial level incest.
Well, no, I think you're doing better because when you're trying to like keep it away, it just kind of getting hints at it.
You get a little touch. Right? Yeah.
Just a little bit where it's like, is this an Eddie's pick?
Right. It's not like you're getting pegged. It's like you're getting a finger in the ass during a blowjob.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? It's there. You can't it isn't there.
You got to work your way at the peg. You can't just start off with a peg, right?
No, you don't. Don't start with a peg and end with a whimper. You got to ease into it. I can make it. Mm-hmm. So, buddy, I got to ask you, first of all, Tim, I hit the sound clip and it's not.
I was going to say that.
With the scene of New York where there were some terrible earthquakes over the weekend. Tim, can you go ahead and report to us live exactly what's the scene in New York?
Who gives a fuck? It's over with, right?
Yeah, but there must be mayhem and bedlam.
The only thing that was annoying to me is like anytime a big news event happens, is it's all that's on the fucking news for like 12 hours straight. And like the 6 o'clock in the morning news is pretty much the same thing you're going to see at 6 o'clock in the evening.
Yeah.
And just throughout the whole day, that's just on a repeat cycle.
See, we had it right when news was about 2 hours a day.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? That's a Norm Macdonald bit, I know, but he was absolutely right, you know, because even then they had to stretch and they'd do something about like a seal. They're like, this seal loves buttons. And then you see a seal,
there was a
flapping.
Monkey, there was a clown. But that's
something.
Morning. That's morning. That's a little entertainment style thing. I can understand that, right?
Yeah, true, true. You don't get bad news in the morning, thankfully,
yeah,
except for 9/11. That was pretty bad
news.
That's
true. Yeah, it made up for it. Yeah, it balanced the scales back out.
That's true. It really did, Tim. Oh, my God. So, yeah, nothing going on with the fucking earthquake. Everybody calm down.
We've had earthquakes in New York before. There was an earthquake in Astoria last year.
Yeah.
No, it's not that big of a deal. I mean, I'm sure if you're sitting there in your house and all of a sudden everything starts fucking shaking and all that stuff, it's a little bit of a freak out, but...
Jesus but great, what if, Tim, what if on Monday there was also going to be a solar eclipse?
Then I would wish that I was some kind of religious freak who was ripping off people instead of getting bit by dogs, who found the new scam of convincing people that, you know, with an earthquake, with something that nobody can predict is going to happen versus an eclipse that somebody could predict 2,000 years ago was going to happen.
Yeah. It's so funny because, like, that's a trope in sci-fi, that you go back in time to primitive minds and you tell them, like, I'm a god and I'll blot out the sun. Mm-hmm. And then they worship you. So idiots today are still...
Look at you and go, shit, we figured that shit out like 2 years ago, man. Come on.
Exactly. So, but nowadays people are so fucking stupid that they're like, I don't know. Mm-hmm. The guy might be magical. It's a good point.
Yes, I have a couple of politicians. I won't say what party they're in, but you can probably figure out. I've been putting forth that this is the sign that God has forsaken our country and we've turned our back on God. And
I'll give you
this
hint,
is what we get for persecuting Christians as much as we do in this country. Because, you
it's
know,
the R word.
The worst thing that you could be in this country is a Christian. You just can't survive.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, no, that's terrible.
No thriving, yeah. No political representation, nothing.
They do horribly. Like, Jim Baker lived a terrible life of poverty. Right?
Mm-hmm.
All those
give me
fuckers.
Some seed money. For every dollar you send me, God's going to give you five Jesus bucks when you get to heaven.
See, we were giving him seed money, and meanwhile, he was shooting his seed all over Jessica Hahn.
Yes. Yeah. Wow, I'm surprised you remember that name.
Damn, of course. Sometimes I do confuse her with Anna Nicole Smith, but it's both because they were both banging corpses.
I get him mixed up with who was the one that was sleeping with the guy who's going to be president? Oh, what the fuck is his name?
The guy who's
going to
be
president? Runner. I think it was Gary Hart.
Oh, fuck. Yeah. Got me.
Yeah, he was the one who told the reporters, hey, if you think I'm doing anything suspicious, follow me around 24 hours a day. See what happens. And one of them went, okay.
Yeah, don't invite it. Don't go looking for it. So, Tim, in honor of New York's tragedy and in solidarity with New York.
Donate money to our podcast so we can help the poor New Yorkers who will be affected by the eclipse with, like, I can't get across town because all the idiot tourists just stopping in the middle of the fucking street.
You got a problem with tourists, Tim?
When they just stop in the middle of the street, traffic is going to be so fucked up because literally people are just going to be walking out into the street to take pictures and look at this fucking thing because they're going to think everything's going to stop because the sun's gone.
It'll be like L.A. the first time it rains for the year.
Dogs are going to be confused.
Halt.
Cats are going to be confused. I know it's going to fuck up. It's going to screw up a bunch of fucking muggers with all of a sudden it's 1 o'clock in the afternoon and now it's work time.
Yeah, I got to get back to work. It's a good point. No, Tim, I'm trying to raise awareness. And so I figure what I would do to raise awareness is it's not what I've been consuming. It's what I'm going to consume, Tim. I'm going to have a real traditional New York original.
Sun.
Yes. No, I'm going to have a New York original. When you think of breakfast, right? And you think in New York, what's the first thing you think of?
A bagel.
So, Tim, I got the cup noodle, everything bagel with cream cheese, ramen.
Wait, what the fuck? It's ramen noodles made by cup of noodles, so that's an abomination to begin with.
And it's
but
everything
bagel. It tastes
bagel.
Like a bagel with everything on it?
Yeah, it tastes like an everything bagel with cream cheese.
What are some of the ingredients on that? I'm wondering what chemical gives it the bagel flavor.
I don't have my glasses here, but I'll try to read them and I'll tell you. Could it be...
Dehydrated whey.
Could it be a hydrolyzed corn protein?
That's got to be tasty, right?
Okay. What about sodium tripolyphosphate?
That sounds like it gives you cancer, so it's got to be good. Oh, wait, you bought that in California, so it can't have any.
It does give you cancer.
Did you get the label on it?
Yeah, no. Like I said, they just put that label in the store now, and so you just have to assume everything in the store gives you cancer. Or my personal favorite.
It's just a sign as soon as you walk in, you're going to get cancer. So.
Literally, yeah. Prop 65 warning. Or like the one I tweeted that was on the fucking bean sprouts at the Asian market. Motherfucker. Bean sprouts. Tim, you're old enough to remember this. Bean sprouts used to be a punchline where you'd be like, well, you need to lose weight. Yeah, what am I going to eat? Some fucking bean sprouts or something?
Rice cakes and bean sprouts was the diet, yes.
Yeah, you made fun of that because it was health food. Now it gives you cancer. What am I going to do?
We're just fucked. Everything gives you cancer. We have so much little microplastic floating around in our fucking system, right?
We do,
too. How much red meat is stuck in your colon?
Not my colon. My colon's squeaky clean, baby.
Okay.
Yeah.
No, I remember hearing that. There's like when you die, there's like 6 or 7 pounds of shit that's stuck in your colon that you just couldn't never get rid of. And I was just no matter how much you work out, that's just weight you're never going to fucking lose. I'm like, I could be Brad Pitt in Fight Club and go, man, I still could be 5 pounds lighter, but
if I could just take that actual last good shit. We haven't evolved past that. Like I said, there's so many like targeted ads you get that's like, you probably have 10 pounds of shit in you. You're not really fat. You just need to take a big dump.
I like that. That's a bit, I like that. That's more agreeable to me than thinking that I'm just a lazy fuck.
Yeah. Instead of being like, I suck. It's like, no, it's not my fault.
My colon's a lazy fuck.
Yeah, my colon fucked it up. Exactly. So speaking of colons, Tim, what have you been consuming this week?
I've had a lot of free time on my hands this week. And let me tell you, I've been on a fucking movie watching bit. But I get to that, I just want to say, I just want to give my sympathies to my friend Vals.
Uh-oh.
Because I think I've mentioned it before, playing hockey with Vals and my friend Westy, and each one of us three have a sports game that's considered our game, and the other two kind of come along. Yes, and his is MLB,
right?
Yes, I have hockey, Westy has football, and he has baseball. And they have done nothing but fuck this game up from day one. And every time they put out a new patch, there's a new fucking thing. The first thing that hit it was, like, if you paid an extra $30, you got, like, a 3-day, 4-day early access thing. Didn't work until the game came out to begin with. So you lost the reason why you're paying that. There's constant things on Twitter about people's accounts just being fucking lost after buying stubs and building up teams and all this other stuff. There was an update that they put out because when you were playing multiplayer, if somebody tried to put a relief pitcher in past a certain inning, it froze the game and it becomes a freeze-off contest because they penalize you if you quit.
It
first starts off with like, it's like a 10-minute cooldown. At one point, I don't know how, but last year, Vols got to like an 8-hour cooldown point. I don't know what could make that man so so rage quit that he's on the cooldown for 8 hours.
Yeah.
So to fix that, they came out with a patch. And what that patch did was it allowed two-way players, which if you're not familiar with that, like Shohei Ohtani. Right, he's a two-way player. He's a pitcher. He could also play left field, right field, and he's hitting home runs.
When you
were putting them into pitch in certain game modes, they were never getting tired. So you could just use that same pitcher over and over and over again instead of having to have a pitcher rotation.
They're trying
to make it look like it's so real. So that, and then the worst one was they did something where all the fucking some of the players will look like, what's that guy's name? Wen Wang from For Your Height Only?
Wen Wang, yeah.
Yes, his face was in this fucking game on just regular people's bodies. Yes, it's all over. It's like Randy Johnson, that motherfucker with that long hair, and then Wen Wang's fucking face on it.
Wing Wing MLB 24, right?
I don't know if I might be the only one who made the connection, but just type in like fucked up faces MLB 24 patch.
Okay, fuck.
So now there's another patch that came out. Faces. And what happened? Okay, you found it?
They do look like Wing Wang. Oh, that's great.
You know how hard it was for me to explain to Vols who Wang Wang is?
He's a Filipino small
movie James star. Bond. Yeah. So the other night, after all these patches came out, and supposedly there was a patch that fixed that, which, I mean, that's not the big of a deal. The guy's face looks fucked up. I mean, I'm not thrilled with it, but I can live with it as long as the game plays.
You can still play,
yeah. We get on, and there's a team that has Vladdy Guerrero Jr., the real player. Okay, what happens in this game is if you are a real player and you tell the San Diego Studios that you want a copy, they give it to you and they give you a special only you can use this card. And it's a 99. And at this point in the game, the highest card that you can get is a 93. So to have a 99 card of anything is a huge advantage. So me and Buzz like, holy shit, that's the real fucking guy. We're playing against him. Nope, turns out there's a new glitch in the game. Now anybody who plays online can have an entire fucking team of 99 players. Somebody figured out that if right before you go into the co-op game, if you go instead of picking your regular players, you put the filter on to show you the cards that you don't own, those cards pop up and then you can just put them right in your line. So there's no reason to buy any cards in this game. God. There's no reason to pay stubs in this game because no matter what, I could spend the Shohei Ohtani and the Mike Trout card, which are the two best cards right now. They're only 93s, maybe 95. They're going for, in real world money, $100 in the market.
Okay.
Because you need like 200,000, 300,000 stubs to buy one of those fucking cards. And it's only a 90, maybe a 95 at best. Right. And in real money, that's like $200 at least that you spend then to get that goddamn card. Now, here I come along, suckers. Guess what? I got that card for free because I know the glitch.
Right. Right.
So, yeah, this game, nice. He's very upset with it. He doesn't like playing it. The other thing is that there's one guy who's like a 65 card. Who throws a screwball?
Yeah, you tell me about that. Yeah, last episode.
So that was the first thing, and now we moved on to all the other stuff. Yeah, so.
Jesus, what a mess.
So, yeah, that's been an experience. But, yeah, back to the movie thing. Let's see. I went on a fucking binge. I watched Starship Troopers, which I haven't seen in a long time. Holy fucking shit, how good it is. RoboCop, which I haven't seen in a long time.
The original, or?
The original, yes. Not with that fucking guy, RoboCop 2, which I like because that guy, what the fuck, what the hell is his name? Who's the guy who plays Kane in that one? That was in Manhunter. Tom Noonan.
Yeah, Tom Noonan. Okay. Yeah,
and he got that little asshole fucking kid running around taking over the whole business.
Yep.
Let's see. Then I also watched American Gigolo. Have you seen that
Richard Gere? No, I haven't.
Dude, that's a great fucking movie. And I remember my Aunt Irene took me to see that twice in the movie theaters. And now I'm watching, I'm like, yeah, I get it, Irene. I get it. I know why you took me two times to see that fucking movie. what else? Then I watched The Wages of Fear, the original one, the French movie.
Oh, really? Okay. How was that?
Because I have Sorcerer on my list forever. And I was like, yeah, you know what? Before I watch Sorcerer, let me go back watch the original. And I only remembered it because Netflix has a remake of Wages of Fear coming out.
Mm-hmm.
But it looks like it's going to be like Marvelized. I don't know, because there's like things where there are helicopters chasing the fucking trucks or some shit like that. Mm. Whatever. Holy shit, what a fucking great movie that. I was taking it back. The French do make good movies. A while ago on the Grind Bin, I think I said that there's no such thing as a good French movie.
Well, that's not true. We know about the modern French extremism wave of horror. We covered a couple of theirs, like Martyrs and Frontiers. So some of those were pretty good. But for the most part, yeah, you can just kind of say French cinema and out the window. But
I've been on a really good watching movie bin, and then we watched this, which tricked me because I'm like, holy shit, Warner Brothers, Morgan Creek, this looks legit. Yeah. It's clear. It's I can't believe how good this picture looks and everything. It's got to be. Oh, wait.
It's well shot, sort of. Oh, man. So I beat the demo for Stellar Blade.
Did you beat?
The demo for Stellar Blade.
Gotcha.
And Tim, you'd think there'd be a point where I get tired of looking at large, slippery ass. You'd be wrong. No.
Yeah.
You'd be so wrong, Tim. Now I
guarantee
think...
there's no first person mode of that, right? He's always using third person camera from behind.
Damn. This is a video game. What are you talking
That's
about?
That's how they could make it in. You buy the game, you're in first person mode. If you want to unlock third person camera, follow camera, it costs like $9.99 to get the pass. Yeah.
Look, if you want to make the next Uncharted game and Nathan Drake is hanging dong. The entire game. You know what I'll say to you? Good. Go for it. Just do it like in Stellar Blade, where it's an optional outfit that you can wear, and I'm totally fine with that.
It's years and years off before we just start seeing dick in games the way that we see tits and ass in games, right? And it's some huge Japanese anime dick that's going to be all over your goddamn screen. No, that ain't happening.
Well, this isn't a huge anime chick. This is they scanned a real woman, Tim.
Mm-hmm. And didn't enhance her at all. That's her real body shape. No. Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
I mean, look.
That's the real physics of her body moving.
Well, the physics may be a little bit different, but Tim, physics are very difficult to map.
That's true. And it's a science fiction game, right? So maybe there's less gravity on that planet.
Plus, Tim, you know how we're supposed to boycott things if the people that produce it are problematic, you know?
Oh, yeah. Good luck. You're never going to buy a fucking video game ever for the rest of your life. That's going to be your credo, yeah.
Well, I was just getting into mathematics, because if you go back and look at what the Greeks were doing with little boys that they were trying to teach, there was a lot of problematic things happening. So that's why we can't use math properly. We have to boycott that, mathematics. So the physics are going to be a little bit off, Tim. That's just what being woke gets you in 2024. I'm Pythagoras is canceled. We're gonna stop using triangles for bridge design. No, played a little bit more of the Stellar Blade. That was fun. I actually just today scored a key for Dragon's Dogma 2, so I'm gonna check that out.
I'm hearing mixed things about it.
I like the first one. It's one of those ones, though. It's like, I don't know. If you didn't like the first one, if that's not your style of game, forget it. You know
it's
what
Capcom,
I mean?
And Capcom, for me, is always, they do one thing. They do Street Fighter.
No, the Resident Evil remakes lately have been fucking fantastic.
That's true. Yeah, that's right. They do that. Yeah.
And then if you like it, I mean, I get that it's specific, and that might be what it is with Dragon's Dogma, but the Monster Hunter games are fantastic as well. But they're
so it's just like you're just killing like a gigantic fucking monster from one stage to the next, so the way it takes you 20 minutes to fucking kill it.
Sort of. So combine Monster Hunter with Skyrim and Elden Ring, and you've got Dragon's Dogma.
Oh, I know Skyrim. Okay.
So more, yeah, so
remember Monster
Skyrim,
Hunter, yeah.
Way more story. Like Monster Hunter, but way more story and super duper punishing like difficulty. So fun stuff.
Hang on a second. Hang on. My cat just knocked something over. Hang on.
Tim's gonna go kill his cat. While Tim does that, I'm going to get into the background for Bad Moon from 1996. That's the movie that we're covering here today. And I floated a couple of movies to Tim just last minute. I was like, well, what are we going to do? And I have a few of them in mind, but I floated Bad Moon and I floated Head of the Family. And Tim, you selected Bad Moon.
Yeah, what was my reasoning? Bad Moon is better than Full Moon.
Well, because Head of the Family is a full moon movie. Now, there's this vibe, first of all, with recommendations on this movie.
I just never imagined you using the word vibe.
Okay, well, I did.
I was very shocked that you said that. All right.
So first, let's go with our recommendations on this movie. Mm-hmm. Do you think anybody, is there any reason to watch it?
Not really. It's a good background movie. If you got something, I will say this: it looks like a real movie. All right, it has people who should be in a real movie. I've seen them in real movies before. Right?
Yes.
The dog is a great actor. I really believe that dog was Thor. I believed it. At the end, when I saw that Thor wasn't played by actual Thor, I was like, oh fuck, that dog deserves an Oscar. But
there's multiple dogs, Tim.
And it's like what? It's like an hour and what? It's like 80 minutes?
It's not even 80 minutes. It was like 77 minutes.
Without too much filler in it, too.
No, it moves in a clip, except for all of the weird like B-roll sweeping shots and all of the scenes that really focus on the dog that have no dialogue. You could probably
come on, get rid of that. I could look at that dog for another 20 minutes.
It's a beautiful dog. Yes. Thor? Beautiful
that dog,
dog
is thinking, man. You could see he was fucking thinking.
Very expressive, very thoughtful dog. So I'm going to give you the recommendation that this is. I would not watch it for genuine enjoyment. I would not put it on at a party because it doesn't have enough scenes in it that hit. You know what I mean?
We said Visit a Q should be a party movie. So yeah, this one doesn't rate. Yeah.
For me, like that vibe of like a party, I'm going to use the word vibe again, Tim. For me, the whole idea of a party movie is it's something you put on because you don't want to pay attention to the story. But if you look at it at any given moment, you're like, what the fuck is happening? That's a good party.
You just put music videos on at that point.
Yeah, that works too. This one, though, I would say hangover movie. For me, like, if I feel like shit, I'm just laying on the couch drinking, like, a Gatorade or just some water, and I can kind of, like, fall asleep and then wake up 20 minutes later and check in on the movie. Oh, what's going on? Oh, not much has really changed. All right,
wouldn't
cool,
you, like,
man.
Wake up and, like, why is he pissing on that?
I did like that, I have to admit. But I would say for me, this is, like, this maybe, like, The Good Son, Evolver, Deadly Friend, all of those fit this, like, weird, and that's when I was saying vibe, what I was talking about. There's this, like, weird spot for me for movies where they're not comfort movies, but they're lazy movies. And this is a lazy fucking movie.
Yeah, you could say that. I don't know how this movie got made.
Well, it's Canadian.
Still, it's Warner Brothers and Morgan Creek. Look at the movies that Morgan Creek put out. No,
I know.
At that time.
I know.
They were all fucking bangers. And then this thing, which it's like somebody owed somebody a favor, or like at the end of the year, they had to do a tax write off. And they're like, hey, you know, we got X amount of dollars left over. And if we don't use it, we're going to have to pay taxes on it. So go make this movie.
So the budget on this movie, Tim, was $7 million.
I was gonna say like $2.5 to $3 million. How the fuck did they get $7 million out of this movie?
$7 million. It made $1 million. Made $1 million, Tim. Made 1/7 of
all
its
those
fucking
Streets
budget.
Of Fire fans going, oh, let's go see his new movie.
Exactly.
Philadelphia Experiment. Oh, let's go see his new science fiction movie. Yes.
Hey, Eddie from Eddie and the Cruisers. Let's go see his movie. All right. So, first of all, this is based off the novel that was written by Wayne Smith, who really, his only credits are that he wrote the novel this movie was based off of.
Mm-hmm.
And apparently he was on an episode of Crime Stoppers South Florida, which I'm really hoping.
Why was he on that? Yeah.
Isn't some like To Catch a Predator situation. But given the movie, it might be.
Why would they call the guy who wrote a book as like somebody who should be on the show to explain why this serial killer did what they did, right?
Yeah, you got me.
There's some like guy running around thinking he was a wolf man.
Oh, it could be. It was South Florida.
Call him in, yeah.
So it could have been a wolf guy. Maybe it was during the bath salts thing, and they're like, we asked the guy who wrote a book about a werewolf that's technically a man that eats people, if he had any.
What happened to bath salts?
I think we just started doing fentanyl. It was just cheaper. It was just better, easier to get a hold of.
I don't know. Bath salts, that thing was like you bought that shit in a gas station or like a fucking 7-Eleven. That's got to be pretty damn cheap.
Well,
and
I think
fentanyl and what bath salts used to do, I think, are complete opposites of the scales. Like doing cocaine and doing heroin. You're not going to, well, some people do both, but.
Well, the problem is that they got banned in 2011. Yeah, the DEA said no more.
Which, by the way, that you said fentanyl, I just watched an episode of Law & Order SVU where they just started referring to it as fent. Like, this is how far we've gotten. Now it's just fent.
Yeah, if SVU is calling it fent, it's over,
buddy.
Well,
yeah, because it also the problem that SVU had with it is like what most police departments have and most information about fentanyl is about. It's a wide degree of what's going to kill you instantly versus somebody was able to dose somebody with 4 times the amount of fentanyl that would kill somebody, and she just woke up 3 days later at their coma. Because in New York, they have all these little ads where there's a little push pin, and there's a little bit of white powder. That's enough fentanyl to kill. You know, like, no, it isn't.
There may be a pussy, yeah.
Well, if that's enough fentanyl to kill somebody, I'm going to assume that one little grain of fentanyl is enough to put in a bag of heroin that's going to make that the best fucking bag of heroin I've had. And
exactly,
all they got to do
is
sneak 5 pounds of fentanyl over, and that's it. They're supplied for the rest of the fucking millennium. If one
little pinprick
can kill somebody...
Yeah, if one pinprick is enough to make a person who shoots heroin OD, right? Because I don't know if you know this about heroin, but people tend to build up a tolerance to it, and then they need more and more. That's one of the big problems.
That's usually why people OD, is because they take a break from it. They get arrested, they go to jail, they kind of clean out, and they come back, and they go, I usually need this much to get high, and they take that. They don't have that tolerance anymore. Yeah,
there's one of my favorite stories is about Nikki Sixx, the bass player from Motley Crue, who OD'd on heroin. Woke up in the hospital. They had let him leave. He went home and he loaded up just one little smidge left, less than what he did to OD, and did that from then on.
You know what? First of all, how you remember exactly how much that you did, right?
You got me, dude. That's
so. I think he's just fooling himself, Eddie.
No. Nikki Sixx from Motley Crue. You think he's fooling
himself? He figured out how to beat the whole fucking OD thing. Yeah.
Doctors and dealers hate him because he figured out this one trick to get perfectly
high.
That
magic sweet spot. Yes.
Yeah. So this was also. The screenplay adapted and directed by Eric Red, who did the screenplay for The Hitcher and Body Parts.
Hitch is a great movie.
Body Parts isn't. But you know what? Body Parts, I'll put that on the same lazy movie list.
Yeah. And you know, The Hitcher could be on that lazy movie too list. That's another one that breezes by. Got Jennifer Jason Leigh in it. Can't go wrong with her.
No, that's a good point. Yep. But this one doesn't have Jennifer Jason Leigh. No, it's got Mariel Hemingway, Tim.
I don't know what it is with her.
Okay.
Sometimes she can be a good actress, because I know she's been in good movies, but she
she was in Superman 4.
Yes, and she was in some Woody Allen movies. So
Manhattan.
Yes.
Yeah.
And, you know, the whole family thing with her grandfather and her sister committing suicide. It was a whole fucked up thing. But she's just got a weird voice.
Yeah.
And that's me saying that. So I can say that, okay? It is the pot calling the kettle black, yes.
Tim calling. And she looks odd. Like, she is attractive, but there's an oddness to her look.
I think it's the eyebrows with that blonde hair and those brown eyebrows. That's kind of does it, too. Yeah.
And there's something about her face that oddly reminds me of the what's her name? The chick Howard Stern married. The model chick?
Beth something?
Yeah, Beth Stern. Something about her face reminds me.
Beth Stern, once I got married.
Yeah. Ostrowski, Beth Ostrowski. That's what it was. Yeah, something about her face reminds me of her.
Are they still
married? I don't know what it is. Who knows? I think people stopped caring about him when he went to satellite radio, Tim.
Well, no, just funny, because I remember the whole thing with him all the time where he was married to his wife is about how much he loved her and that, you know, all these models are coming on to him and all that stuff. And then as soon as they got divorced, he went out and he married a supermodel. So
yeah, literally like a year after his movie came out that was all about like, but through it all, I love my wife.
Yeah.
Divorces are the next
movie,
year.
That was the final straw of that movie.
Yeah, yeah. That was at the end. That was the,
she's
you know,
like, you got
I
no bathtub with Fred? Get the fuck out of here.
Yeah. Oh, the movie was the last straw. Yeah, because remember, oh my God, this is, now you're going way back in my memory. They found his wife at the time that he ended up divorcing, found a list of stuff his assistant was supposed to get for his trailer, and condoms was on the list. And he said
What funny thing was he doing with the condoms? Yeah.
Well, apparently he said his buddy put that on the list as a joke.
Jackie, you joke man, you.
Yeah. So, Tim, that'd be like if I'm hanging out, right? My wife walks in the bedroom, I'm getting my dick sucked, right? And I'm like, no, you don't understand.
No, hold on. Tim, at that point, she's got you dead to rights, okay?
No.
Pockets.
Tim bought me
not
a
great.
Hooker. Tim got me a whore as a joke. This is like a funny blowjob. That's why she's dressed like a clown. It's not really secretly my fetish.
It's for the podcast, yeah.
Yeah, I would hate it if women got nude and dressed up like clowns and sent me pictures like that on Twitter. So don't do that.
Well, I think I told the story before, but I have a thing where my wife found the condom that I had no idea that I had. And thank God she found it when she found it. she went out and she bought me a bunch of underwear, and there was an underwear that was like done like a Superman thing and it had a pocket on in it.
Mm-hmm.
And it came with a condom inside that pocket.
Oh.
And she noticed it as I was trying them on at the house. Okay. So it wasn't even like I wasn't even out of the house or anything like that. And when what the fuck is this? And I take it out and I'm thinking to myself, thank the fucking Lord. If anything makes me believe in Jesus Christ as my savior, it's that we discovered that that fucking pair of underwear came with a rubber in them. Because there would have been no fucking way.
That would have been over.
Yeah.
So all you got to do is you just get a look at her and say, look, sweetheart, you know daddy hits it raw, right?
Yeah, that's true. Jesus Christ, man. They had to be a fucking warning sticker, a label on that fucking pair of underwear. Yeah, look in this pocket.
Dude, you know what?
Maybe somebody just put them in there.
You just gave me a great fucking idea, Tim. I'm going to go buy a giant box of condoms, right? And then all of my coworkers that keep inviting me to their house that I don't want to fucking deal with, so I say no.
Oh.
I'm going to go over there and sneak a condom.
That's great, man, because when they get divorced, they're not going to invite you over to their house.
Yeah, just sneak it into their couch. Just in the couch cushions, just sneak a condom. Dude, that's a life pro tip right there.
That's how you make some money on the side, Eddie. You do that, then you call the guy up the next day and go, I hit a rubber in your house. It's going to cost you $500 for me to tell you where it is. Okay?
Tim, buddy.
It's in a place where only your wife is going to think to look.
Tim, buddy. You and me, we got a business deal going on right now.
There we go. Fuck the podcast. We found a money making idea.
You want to see me turn this condom into fucking $5,000? That's easy. I'll just tell you which drawer it's in before your wife finds it. And she will. Oh, my God.
Could even be in your car. You don't know.
Yeah. And by the way, this isn't like a normal condom either. It's one of the weird spiky ones. So,
this is some glow in the dark fucking spike shit for nobody's pleasure. Yeah.
Yeah, that doesn't actually protect anything.
Yeah, it's gonna be like a condom from Seven.
Oh God, jeez. Yeah, it's just gonna look like that fucking the Dune popcorn cup turned inside out. It's gonna be a nightmare, man. So then you've got, as we said, Michael Parra, who plays Uncle Ted. And, of course, he was one of the teenagers in The Greatest American Hero that the dude taught.
Remember that show? Holy shit, that's right. That's where he got his first start. And yes, Faye Grant was on that, too, before she went on to V. Yeah.
Yeah, that's one of them we actually watched in the house. A terrible fucking show.
I remember watching that show, yes, sir. Robert Culp was okay.
Yeah.
What are you going to do? You didn't have much choice back then.
And yeah, as I said, Eddie from Eddie and the Cruisers, Streets of Fire, Village of the Damned. Dude's a fucking legend, right?
Philadelphia Experiment, right? Yeah.
Yeah. Been in a million movies, and he's fantastic. And then
I have to watch this. I was just like, I've seen this guy before in another movie. He's just doing himself.
Yeah. Well, okay, that's fair. That's fair. But like, you could say that about like Mia Goth, right? They kind of
now. If there was a movie where Mia Goth was doing herself, I would be lined up to see that. Yeah. Yes,
I'm just saying, like they pick specific roles for her, right? Or what's her name? The new one that played Wednesday.
Yeah, you're not going to see Mia Goth in The Princess Diaries Part 6.
Right, she's not going to be in Legally Blonde 4. You know what I mean?
Reboot that whole thing with Mia Goth.
Oh, can we do a gender swap reboot of Legally Blonde where it's some himbo?
Chris Hemsworth, yeah.
Yeah, Chris Hemsworth, the himbo. Jim, you know what? I'd tune into that, buddy. Sounds like fun. Then you've got Mason Gamble, who plays the son, Brett.
Mm-hmm. Did we ever hear from this kid again?
We heard from him before this, Tim, as he was Dennis in Dennis the Menace.
Wow. Okay, he just doesn't look anything like how I imagine Dennis. I guess that's not my Dennis the Menace, okay?
No, I'm talking about the Dennis the Menace from the Walter Matthau one back in 93.
Yeah, there was only one Dennis the Menace movie, right? I didn't think he was the Dennis the Menace in the fucking
Oh, no,
TV
that's
series,
right.
Yeah.
No, I was, you know what? I was confusing it with Richie Rich.
Mm.
With the fucking... Yeah, it's the same shit. Just a kid that's a dickhead.
Different side of the tracks, though. Okay? Dennis doesn't have
fair.
That money. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a good point. No, he was also in Rushmore, CSI Miami. He was in an episode of, Tim. I don't know if you watched the Miami episode.
No, but... I know. The only show that I watch like that is Law & Order SVU and Law & Order Criminal Intent. Other than that, yeah. I have no interest in any of those other stupid shows.
But yeah, not much else from this kid.
I mean, he was pretty good in this. When he was like supposed to look like shocked and surprised, he went, yeah.
Yeah, it was all right, you know. Then you had Ken Pogue, who played Sheriff Johnson. Or Jensen.
Eyebrows, yeah.
Yeah, Mr. Eyebrows. Dude, talk about Mr. Eyebrows, man. No, that dude was in The Dead Zone. He played the vice president.
Who the fuck remembers the vice president from The Dead Zone?
Martin
Sheen
movie
and Sonny. That's it. Those are the only two fucking people close to that thing you would remember, yeah.
Timmy was also in 8 episodes of Rin Tin Tin Canine Cop.
From 1950 or something? What the fuck?
No,
was he
from,
a kid in that show?
From 1988.
There was no Rin Tin Tin fucking show in 1988. Rin Tin Tin's an old motherfucker.
Tim. 1988. I believe it was on the Family Channel.
Okay, yeah, all right, yeah, all right. Yeah, that makes sense, yeah.
Here we go. I'm sending you the link now, buddy. We got to watch this show. It looks pretty good.
Yeah, Rin Tin Tin on the Family Show. A more wholesome lassie. Yeah. The kid never gets stuck in anything that might be considered a vagina.
Oh, my God. Wait a minute. Tim, you've just opened up a new genre of porn. Stuck porn, but we throw lassie in it.
Mm.
Oh, my God. Little Jennifer's got stuck in the washing machine.
Oh, and he goes and he brings the stepbrother. He's like bothering the stepbrother. They're like, what is it, Lassie? What is it?
Yeah, the stepbrother's whacking off, right? So then Lassie comes in there and grabs his fleshlight and then runs off with it.
Brings him to the kitchen where the stepsister's stuck in the washing machine.
Yeah, and then he fucks her. And the dog watches and whacks off. Can we animate like a little paw of a dog whacking a little dog dick for the porn?
You got to go to that Fiverr site to get that, I think, done, right?
Yeah, yeah. Fiverr, you could have AI do it, I bet.
That's true, yeah. Type in AI. What would Lassie look like whacking it while he was watching two step-siblings have stuck in the refrigerator? I guess you don't get stuck in the refrigerator. You just put the woman in the refrigerator, right?
So, Tim, we're going to do this live. I'm going to have AI generate the image. This would be some bonus podcast content for the people
for
that
the video
subscribe
viewers, yeah.
For the video viewers. And you could be a video viewer, too, if you went to patreon.com/bloodybits.
Get to see me drink beer, smoke, right?
Get to watch me try to AI generate images. All right. So here we go. Have you ever made an AI image, Tim?
Nope.
Really?
The fuck am I going to do with it?
Tim, I don't know. I don't know what the fuck is in your imagination. All right.
Listen, not even your imagination. You just got to like give it like 3 keywords and it fucking does something, right?
Well, that has to come from your imagination, Tim Yobo. All
right, I can imagine 3 words.
All right, so here we go. So it says over here, for a text prompt, I'm going to put right now, Lassie masturbating while... a woman stuck in a dish washer makes love to her, and I'm going to put in parentheses, step.
Is she doing it? Brother. Is she making love to her stepbrother? She's the one who's stuck?
That's a good point, Tim. Is made love to. By her stepbrother. Okay, Tim. That's a very good distinction. Thank you. So how many images do we want? Probably one. Well, let's get 4.
Yeah,
let's
see
if we can get a
top
panel.
4. Top 3.
And for the model, we want to use doll 3. Yeah, well, we use the most advanced modeling. And for preset, we probably want anime, right? Tim?
Yeah, crossover, right?
Like a vivid or a natural? We'll go with a natural. anime preset. All right.
I thought you meant Vivid as like the production company.
Oh, no, no, no. I think that's just how good it looks. Oh, okay. Well, it says this prompt contains prohibited words. So.
All right. Take out step.
All right. Lassie practicing self-love. Because they can't ban the word love, right?
That's true, right? Hopefully we want to teach the AI love.
See, the content filter rejected the prompt. God damn it.
Dude, wait a second. Hold on. How did all that Taylor Swift fucking fake porn get on fucking Twitter the day after the Super Bowl? You can't do a fucking dog whacking itself?
I guess I need a better AI, Tim. Mm. My AI has morals.
Taylor Swift's dog. There you go. That's how you got it beat. Yeah.
I need an amoral dog. A dog. Amoral AI is what I need. I need an AI.
That's pretty much all of them, right? Yeah.
Yeah. You're
given enough time.
True. True. So, all right, Tim, we cold open on a couple banging in the woods.
Dude, this is the most mechanical fucking I think I've
the
seen.
The worst fucking
yes.
I've seen. Oh,
yeah. This is incredible. This is it's incredible how bad it is.
It's up there with like, what was it? Striptease. Remember the sex scene in that?
Yeah.
That was
swimming
pretty
pool.
Bad.
Yeah.
It's up there with, I don't know if you remember Blood Rain, the sex scene in Blood Rain.
The vampire movie with Gandhi? Yeah.
Yes.
No, I don't remember that.
That had a really bad one.
Oh, wait, was she getting Uber. Fucked on, like, the cages of the fucking... Yeah.
There you go, too. But, yeah,
Gandhi
just
is the one brought it back for me. I remembered it, yeah.
There's just no passion, and I figured it out. It's because this actor has no chemistry with Marjorie, whoever the lady is that's playing his girlfriend at the time, because all he wants to do is fuck the shit out of his sister. We'll learn that in a minute.
That's why he had to leave the country. He thought, maybe if I put a continent between the two of us, by the time she's stuck, she's gonna get out of that goddamn dishwasher before I can get back home on an airplane.
Tim, love doesn't understand distance because it's out of this universe.
Mm-hmm. Yes,
now
that's
put
true.
That on a bumper sticker, baby. So, yeah, this werewolf rips the chick out of the fucking tent.
I have written down, first of all, hats off to her pullout game.
That's a good point.
Right? Like, yeah. I don't trust you, motherfucker. All right? I'm doing it. And, thanks for the heads up, Mike.
Yeah.
Right? You see that fucking shadow coming up?
The dude sees a werewolf shadow.
No matter what, even if the first thing that pops in your head isn't a fucking werewolf and it's just one of the guys that you have hired with you.
Yeah.
Or maybe one of the horses got loose, whatever the fuck it is. Yeah.
It's
heads
not
up,
good.
Lady.
Yeah. Yeah, it's not the dog, not Lassie watching, whacking off. I mean, it could have been. You don't know. So anyhow, yeah, she gets fucking ripped to shit, and dude gets bit on his shoulder. Then he just blows the fucking werewolf's head off with a shotgun.
Which I've always wondered about werewolves. What happens, right? He does have a point later on in the movie where he says, yeah, look, it doesn't have to be a silver bullet. Just blow a fucking head off. What's going to happen? They're going to regrow a head? How fast does it take to regrow a head? How far can I be before it grows a head back?
Well, he has a point, but like, also, there's like nothing about what werewolves are make any logical sense. So to poke a hole at any of it is like, okay, you're making a point. The whole like, well, it's also got to be at a full moon. And he's like, yeah, no, it doesn't. That's stupid.
So does he do this every night?
I guess so, Tim. We'll get to that. Okay, so we cut to now, right?
Uh-huh.
And I just wrote down, okay, I guess in this universe, a dude just blew a werewolf's head off and nobody knows about it. None of the guides that were there with him. Nobody.
Yes. Wait a second. Hold on. What country can you be in where horses get killed, a couple of your guides, is this his girlfriend or his wife?
It's his girlfriend.
Girlfriend. And then all of a sudden, they just left in the jungle. Nobody's wondering what happened to the rest of you. Where's the rest of your party?
I've got so many questions about law enforcement in this fucking movie because holy shit, dude, it gets even worse.
Well, this movie missed a chance because at this point, before she gets killed, he says, next month we're going to Egypt. And I'm like, oh man, we could have the fucking werewolf versus the mummy.
Oh God, all we need is fucking Lon Chaney, Abbott, and Costello, and we got gold. That's all we need.
Yeah, we could redo it with Jay and Silent Bob.
Oh God. Yeah. You want Jay and Silent Bob to be the modern day Abbott and Costello?
They kind of were.
Yeah, sure. Same caliber of writing, I'd say. Right around there. So now we meet Janet, who is our hero for the movie, played by Mariel Hemingway. Well, yeah, I mean, well, no.
The name of the book wasn't Janet.
So. This movie was based on a novel, as I alluded to earlier. The novel is written 100%
by the dog. I knew it. As I'm watching this movie and I saw that title and I saw this dog and that dog just fucking sitting there for hours and hours and hours, like, that dog's got to be scheming and plotting. That has to be the book. The whole thing has to be from the dog's point of view. Everything.
The entire book, unlike just... It's not even just a bad chapter of a Dean Koontz novel. It's the entire book, Tim.
What a scam, man. That's a great book. Jesus Christ. This entire book is written in the...
Yeah.
Can I write a book in the cat's point of view where it's just page after page of nothing?
So the other difference is, Tim, were that the... That basically the dog saw that the werewolf was the alpha that was trying to take his position in the family. So that's why there was a conflict.
Oh, shit. So they didn't fix this dog?
No. They could have fixed the werewolf. That would have fixed the whole problem.
That's no good for the sister, though.
That's true. She wants to get impregnated by her brother. That's a good point. Okay. We meet her and her son when a con man tries to coax the dog into biting him and then sue them. That's the game. It's the classic, like, oh, you hit me with your car, give me $500 or we're going to call the cops.
He's a flopsy. Yeah.
He's a flopsy. And she calls him as much, too.
Okay, here's what I have written down. Stick with cars because cars are a lot more predictable. Usually you're only going to get hit by a car once. Okay. Yeah. In this scheme, he's got to count on that dog biting him one time and the owner being able to call that dog off in time before he starts getting bit more than one time. And guess what? If that's your scheme, okay, look, everybody's got their fucking thing, their little niche, their fucking kink. Stay away from the ones who have fucking German Shepherds.
Yeah, this dog, this fucking 200-pound dog, this dog is a monster.
Mm-hmm. And I'm going to get a lot more money off of somebody who has Fluffy the fucking Pekingese fucking dog.
Exactly. Going,
hey, if you don't pay my medical bills, that dog's getting destroyed.
Yeah. Any dog like a Bichon Frise or
some
shit
money dogs. Yeah. German Shepherds are great dogs. But unless you go into like a professional breeder and get a real fucking Shooks hound with the training and all that stuff, they're not more than like a fucking trip to the shelter.
No, you need a dog that matches the lady's purse. If you can get that dog to bite you, you are golden, baby.
Oh, you're looking for that Paris Hilton bitch. Yes. You got that dog. Yes. You got that money. Yeah.
We want to get bit by a dog that's an accessory. That's the movie. But not an accessory to the crime, too. So,
it was an inside job. The dog was in on it.
So then we find out
that
Janet
actually, you know what? I just thought of a great fucking way of scamming people with that shit. Okay, here, let's take this guy's game up and think. Get a dog, train it, right? Now, just like, I don't know, lose the dog outside these people's house, have the dog go up to them and be all nice and like, oh, he's a good dog. Let's keep him for a couple of days and see what happens. Then come back, get the dog to pretend bite you. And then that's why you're making money and you're not getting really bit.
See, Tim, I figured you were going to say then that night, the dog sneaks around the house, unlocks the back door, gathers up the valuables, puts it in a pillowcase.
It's the Daring Doberman gang.
Then the dog would be the accessory to the crime, Tim. So anyway, Janet, the mom, is like, nah, bitch, I'm a lawyer, so this ain't gonna fucking work for you. Best of luck, though. Fuck off. And the guy gets pissed, you know? So then we get to see a little, like, slice of life from them where the dog is, like, the dad substitute.
It's checking in on bizarre. The son, checking in on the mom. Yeah.
Yeah. Tucks in the son to go to bed. Mm-hmm. Then he fucks the wife because it's a white woman and they do that. And then he goes to bed. He's
bringing the peanut butter into the room.
No, the dog's got a smoking jacket and a pipe and he's reading the paper.
This is a good looking dog. I can't blame her.
It's a good looking dog. Yeah. I get it. Tim, if you had to fuck a dog, probably this one.
Hmm.
I'm going with McGruff. I got a vendetta against.
Oh wait,
that
we're actually talking about like dogs that are like in things or just like as breeds. Because I would take pug. Fuck that shit.
Okay, well, I guess if you want to fuck a pug, not McGruff the crime dog, then I suppose you could just go. You could just go to the park.
Well, are we talking about fucking or getting fucked? Because that changes the whole breed thing. Yeah. Then you
fucking
know,
or making love.
I might go from a pug to a husky. I like those big asses.
Like them big? Yeah. Tim, you should play Stellar Blade. Not enough dogs. Yeah. Although, when it comes out on PC, somebody will mod it to be a furry.
Well, here's what's funny, because I was actually thinking, because of Helldivers 2, I was actually thinking about maybe getting a PlayStation 5, but I already know that at the end of the year, there's going to be a PlayStation 5 Pro.
Yeah, so then the regular one will drop in price. Plus, all the developers are saying if the Pro comes out, they're not going to, like, it's not worth it to them to develop a separate version of the game for the Pro because the audience will be so fragmented anyway.
Same, like, so, with Xbox One and Xbox X and S, it's, I remember all these games, I promised, running in 4K, 60 frames per second.
Mm-hmm,
that hasn't happened. Once in a while it happens, but with the next generation, it's going to happen, yeah.
Nope, 4K 30 is what we got, baby.
Mm-hmm.
That's where we're at. I mean, but to be fair, most TVs don't support that high of a fucking frame rate. So
I don't know. I'm just thinking if I go out and I buy a $500 game machine, it should be testing the limits to all the other stuff that I have. Maybe you got a six-year-old TV.
Yeah, that's a good point. It shouldn't. The weak point of it shouldn't be the game console.
I mean, and by now, Jesus Christ, man, who hasn't bought like fucking three TVs in the last 15 years, right?
TV prices are so fucking low, it's ridiculous.
Yeah,
man.
It used to be like, the thing about how the guy throws away his car because the ashtrays are full. Now it's like, I watch Channel 2 on this TV, I can throw it out.
Yeah. Oh, gross. Fucking Fox came
CBS
on the TV.
Oh, fuck. Man.
All right, break it. Yeah, because remember when people were busting their TV with their Wiis? It was like a big problem.
Mm.
People freaked out. Nowadays, you bust your TV with the Wii, you're like, shit, I hope the Wii's not fucked up.
Well, yeah, because my TVs, I remember when I was a kid, you could throw a fucking brick at it and you wouldn't break it. So,
dude, those old console TVs? Mm-hmm. Yeah, fuck that, man. That thing could fall through the goddamn floor of your house, man. Those things were ridiculous.
Yeah, you need to brace the floor to put that fucking console floor down.
Yep. Don't put it on that wall. It's a load-bearing wall. So we go back to the jungle where dude's like measuring trees, just some random guy out
there. At night?
At night. He kind of looks like the fatter Chris Pratt when Chris Pratt was fat.
Kind of, yeah. I can see it. Mm-hmm. But I just understand the night shift of going out and measuring trees.
They play loose with day and night here. But, Tim, it has to be nighttime because there's a werewolf.
Okay, campers? Somebody sending up a moonshine still? Somebody growing weed in the fucking mountains instead of a guy who's working for the fucking Department of Trees measuring them?
Tim, buddy, they only had $7 million for the budget. They couldn't afford a camper. They just got the high-vis vest and
the vest, the helmet, and the fucking tape measure. That's all you need.
That's all you need, buddy. Mm. See, you're saving money right there. It's shorthand. So, yeah, fucking, he's just, like, measuring a tree. All of a sudden, a bunch of cum drops down on him. I'm like,
I have written down,
fuck?
What? Yes. Yeah. That fucking thing was up there whacking off, and then he came into the tree, literally.
Yeah. No, it's a werewolf drooling on the guy. So he fucking dives down, eats him. All right. So we know there's a werewolf just loose and free in the States. So now we cut back to Janet. And Janet and her boy are going to visit Uncle Ted for some fun at the lake. Tim, you ever go out and hang out at the lake?
Yes, but usually I have an address, not just somebody's park somewhere, and I'll meet you at the lake.
Yeah. Well, this guy decided to make a house of it, you know? Why not?
He's squatting, you might say, right?
Yeah, but I would say he's living the fucking the life.
Yeah, he's got that Mel Gibson Lethal Weapon thing going on, right?
Yep, exactly.
Nice little Airstream, good air, right on the beach. The suckers who actually bought the real houses paid like $12 million for those goddamn things. You got $12,000 worth of Airstream.
Man, banging broads, having barbecues, just having a good old fucking time, dude. So of course they talk about his recent divorce, quote unquote.
I don't think it's a divorce because she's just like, where is whoever that chick's name is? And he's like, forget about it. Yeah.
Basically breakup, right? He's like, forget about it. We're not together anymore. She's in Seattle. Like, oh, okay. That's cool. So then the kid goes and wanders off into his fucking trailer and just starts digging around in the secret room of his trailer.
Yeah, kid, come on, you gotta do that. You know, when you were a kid, you didn't go over like your uncle's house and you're like, oh, what's in the basement and shit like that? And then you find a bunch of fucking dildos and handcuffs. Oh, wait, that was Marilyn Manson.
Yeah, and that was his grandfather. Oh, man. Yeah,
imagine writing that down in a book. Yeah.
Well, you know. It's gotta fill the pages somehow, Tim. They can't all be from the perspective of a dog.
I just can't imagine that they're all still glistering with fucking petroleum jelly after a while. It's gotta cake onto it, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, unless you're using them on the daily.
That's true.
You know? So, yeah, the kid's looking around at all the shit, and he finds, like, little vials and test tubes and, like, slides.
I read that he found his meth lab.
Basically, yeah, it's the Breaking Bad fucking Winnebago. Oh, you think that's what it was? This dude's just been up fucking smoking a bunch of meth and chaining himself to trees at night.
That does make sense now.
Yeah. Oh, that'd be so funny if that was the twist at the end of the movie. There was no werewolf. He was just fucking
he's just a meth head on bath salts.
Yeah. Ah, there you go. And that's
with
why.
With some fent in it, yeah.
And that's why they had the writer on that South Florida crime show, Tim, because he predicted bath salts in 1996. Wow. So, yeah, he finds his bad meth-making kit, and he finds his Necronomicon of werewolves, which has,
nice
like,
book,
no...
right? I like that, because, you know, the book had, like, a little fucking... I'm blanking on the name, but that, like, little fucking toilet paper page over all the illustrations.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
That's
a nice
fucking
book.
Little...
No, it was well made, but it had no good information in it.
No, I like that one thing where it looks like the fucking werewolf is just ripping some kid right into the fucking throat.
Yeah. Yeah, I like that it locked in on that too when they gave the dramatic sting. And by the way, when Tim says that the movie looks good, it does.
Yeah.
But it looks good asterisk Canadian film. Or asterisk could be a made for TV movie.
No, for real. And when I watched this, I did not get that made for this. As soon as I was like, holy shit, this is a real fucking movie. With the opening credits, the fucking helicopter doing the thing across the fucking water and everything like that.
That's true.
And just, yeah, it looks really good. Nothing in this movie looks, I mean, forget the special effects sometimes, stuff like that, but nothing in this movie looks like it was done cheap. I guess that's where you get that $7 million.
Yeah, I guess it doesn't look cheap. I don't know. I guess it's just not well shot, I suppose.
Yes. Well, I agree with you. Some of the shots of him with the dog and just like.
Yeah. Some of it, like when they just linger on the dog for seemingly no reason for
that's
minutes.
That's how they got to the 80 minutes on this. But again, that's I don't mind looking almost. At that dog's face. I'm looking at that. Like, that dog is fucking thinking for real. That dog is fucking thinking. You can see it in his eyes.
So, fun fact about that, Tim.
Oh, don't tell me it was a fucking stupid dog. Or like there was 12 of those dogs that they needed for different staring shots.
Nope. So in the director's commentary, he said Thor, the dog actor that played Thor, says the dog that played the role had to be a great movie dog. Several dogs were used in the film, each with various skills, but the hero dog, the one that was used for close-ups and general scenes, took months to find. After seeing several dogs in person, Red, the guy that did the casting on here, he was sent a photo of an untrained German Shepherd and knew that that was his Thor. So this is not even a trained movie dog.
So all this search for the dog, and they went, yeah, get Michael Perret.
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah, get that Hemingway one. Yeah, whatever.
Oh, there's a Hemingway's of it? Yeah, I'll get her, whatever. The kid, the Richie Rich kid? Whatever, get him too. No, we got Dennis the Menace. I don't really care. I have $5 million that I'm hiding right now, so. Oh, man. So then, I guess, for some reason, Thor, the dog, doesn't trust Uncle Ted immediately. And the mom is like, you know, Ted, you should just move it back over to our house because I'm trying to get some dick from you. So why don't you, instead of staying here in the most beautiful spot that I could see, where if you wanted to, you could stick your dick out of the door and piss or fart or shit or smoke cigarettes or listen to loud music, fish, barbecue.
Yeah, 'cause he does smoke a cigarette in this movie. A cigarette is in this movie.
One, yeah. It's always jarring when you see it, though, because you don't see it so much anymore.
No, but I think it's even more jarring is that you only see it once. If you're going to show it, you got to show it, right?
So, yeah, instead of staying there, she's like, why don't you stay at – why don't you park in front of my house?
That way you don't have to sleep in the house, yeah.
Right, then you're not sleeping in the house. You're just in a less comfortable place annoying all of my neighbors.
Yes, instead of me being stuck in the washing machine, you're going to be stuck in the backyard in a Winnebago.
Oh.
Turning those tables on.
That's it. Yeah, okay. So she's doing a little power move to him. Tim, I got it.
She is the oldest sister, right?
Fair, yeah.
She's got the house. He's got a fucking Winnebago, whatever, the Airstream.
He's got a wannabango. So, but yeah, you know, she tells him that, and he's like, "Nah, I can't do that. I'm too much of a loner to do that. So I'm just gonna stay here." Right. Cut to the next morning. He calls her. He's like, "Yeah, I changed my mind. Can I come stay at your place?" Right. And then we the camera pans out, and you see like 100 cops just pulling dead bodies out and wrapping them up. Literally next to Ted while he's on the fucking phone with her.
Yes, at the very least, he's getting questioned with, have you heard of any strange animals? And by the way, have you heard of any strange animals who cut people in half and hang them from fucking tree, impale them on tree branches? I have written out, this first murder, you cannot look at this without thinking anything else. It has to be a werewolf. There's no fucking animal that would do this or could do this.
Because, he rips. Okay, so to get descriptive, because there's not a lot of kill scenes in this, but the ones there are pretty graphic. I mean,
Dude, that thing later on with the fucking flopsy guy where he looks at his hand and his fucking finger is just hanging by a strand.
That was pretty good.
That was good.
So I'll give him credit on that. The practical effects in it are good. And I'll bet you with the werewolf transformation, if they had the time and cared, they could have done it better. Because what they did not work, but it was 96 and it was CGI.
I'm just trying to think freely. 96, $7 million. Where is that money going?
I guess to the practical effects, Tim.
Oh, so that dog, that guy was a hell holdout. He's like, guess what? I know you've been searching for a dog like mine for the last year and a half. Production's holding up. It's costing $15,000 a day. I want $8 million. I'll settle for $5 million for the dog. Yeah.
Plus the dog gets creative control.
He gets final edit.
Might have been a better movie, Tim.
I don't like that scene. The scene makes me look fat.
Not this one. I look like I'm
a
looking
movie
at
directed
the
by the dog's point of view. There you go.
That's what I'm telling
you.
You
get
buddy.
Away with that shit in a book. You can't do that in a movie.
No. But there's too much money in a movie. In a book, there's no investment. There's just a bunch of muddy paw prints on some paper. That's free. Mm-hmm. Who cares? You know? That's it. I'm going to write the first book, Tim, that was written by a dog.
Oh, poor.
So it's literally from the dog's perspective.
Just paw prints on a page. Yep. Some scratched up pages. Yep.
Some piss, maybe.
Some white stuff on a page.
Yeah. That would be pretty funny. Oh, man. So, yeah, the cops would have stopped him. I mean, come on. He's not just going to leave. They would have been like, hey, dude, there's a dead body ripped to shreds hanging in a tree. You didn't hear anything?
This is the guy, right? The guy who's out measuring the fucking trees gets killed. Later on, when she's watching the news, they say five female campers have been killed by this animal.
Yes.
So that guy doesn't count, I guess, right? They don't know that he's dead.
As you will see often, Tim, the male victims aren't counted by the news.
That's true, yes. And he wasn't blonde, so that doesn't count.
That's true.
It wasn't during spring break in like some exotic place, right?
Yeah, true. This reminds me of the old Patrice O'Neill bit. Mm-hmm. How he was like, I know
him because Amy Schumer steals all her jokes from him.
His joke was that if when black people go missing, nobody cares. So if he ever goes on a vacation to another country, he's going to adopt a little white kid first. And like wear it like a keychain attached to his belt.
That could be trouble too. It's one of those things where you 50-50 whether or not it's a good thing or a bad thing. It might save you on one thing, but it can get you in trouble for another reason. Yeah.
That's fair. Mm. Yeah. But if he goes missing, you know they'll look. So that's,
I remember seeing a video of him on YouTube, and he did a thing about how white people love Creep from Radiohead much.
Yeah.
Oh, man, when that thing just kicks in, you just see white people, their soul is...
He had another one about Fight...
Yeah, that's true, yeah.
He had another one about Fight Club. He said he went and watched Fight Club in the movie theater, and he said, it did nothing for me, but I looked around, and white men were locked in on that movie. And he said, you know what? This isn't for me. I don't understand it. I'm going to leave it alone. Oh, man.
Yeah, rest in peace,
shitty country we're in. Yeah, rest in peace. That guy was funny as shit, man.
Yeah, that's why once you die, you don't see Amy Schumer anymore, because where's she going to get her material?
That's a good point, yeah. Because she's got to steal from fucking Carlos Mencia, who steals from Joe Rogan, I guess, and Bobby Lee.
Look, you know, I get it that sometimes people have the same idea around the same time, right? There's lots of times we see like three different fucking volcano movies coming out. Two times, three times, four times after that.
Doing a comedy bit about how he took his dad to Disneyland, and because he was so small, his dad had to get on his shoulders to ride the rides, which was literally the bit Bobby Lee did. That's pretty specific, Tim. That's funny, but pretty specific.
Maybe I was going to notice, right? Fucking and internet.
And then he stole the acting like a mentally incapacitated person from Joe Rogan.
I think that's just Joe Rogan's thing. I don't think that's an act. Yeah.
I don't think it was the act. I just think he stole that from Joe Rogan. For our younger listeners.
Oh, God damn it.
For our younger listeners, Carlos Mencia used to do this whole bit where he pretended to be mentally retarded and made sounds that he thought approximated that. Mm-hmm. And that was really funny.
Yeah, you don't see stuff like that on TV anymore. That doesn't play as funny anymore. So, yeah.
No, that was his here's your sign moment. You know? So that night, my favorite part. They bring him to the house, right? And then, Tim, I floated this by my wife, right? So I asked my wife, I said, okay, let's say something happened with your brother. He had to drive his truck down here, park in front of our house, right? Plug into our electricity and stay in his little trailer in front of our house for a week, right?
Nice fucking house she's got, too. She's making some money, so yeah.
Oh, yeah. No, well, it's in Washington State, though, so.
I don't know.
Nice house.
Just the landscaping on that looks like it costs money.
Oh, yeah.
Got a nice deck. Yeah, that deck looks like brand new.
Maybe that's where the budget went. The director bought himself a house and then made that the location.
Yes, and then I can write it off my taxes because I used my house to film. Double whammy.
Smart. Tim, telling you, buddy.
That should between be a tax this and lawyer.
Hiding con, between this and hiding condoms in people's house to blackmail them, I think our business sense is on the upswing, Tim.
Dude, I'm telling you, for real, that should be a whole. How is that not like a sex comedy movie from the 80s or something like that? Right? We need some money. Yeah. We got to go to Mexico to buy some fucking weed that's dirt cheap, so we can come back and sell it to our friends in high school. How can we get the seed money? I know. I'll hide a condom in my dad's car.
And tell him, just cut to the dad beating the life out of the kid until he finds the condom, showing the text message to the wife, who's like handing him more things to hit the kid with.
Well, no, the twist is that the dad kills the mom because it really isn't his condom. He finds it and he thinks my wife is fucking around. See, clever. Just should have paid, dad. Just should have paid.
Or the dad walks up and he's like, yeah, stupid, I found the condom. The kid's like, that's not the condom we hid. Tim.
Most likely it's going to be Trojan.
So anyhow, I asked her this and I said, okay, so say you're doing that. So of course you're going to go into his trailer and start going through his shit, right? She's like, no. And I'm like, all right, well, the lady in this movie does it.
And no, she to finds... be fair, the book falls down. She walks past it and falls down and opens up.
The book. Yes. The book, yes. Mm. I'll give you the book. The love cuffs, on the other hand.
The dog uncovers them, see? The dog knew. Yeah. He smelled something on those cuffs. I don't know what that dog smelled on those cuffs, but he smelled it and he made him uncover it.
But now, Tim, you've got sisters, right?
I have a sister, yes.
Okay, so if you were going through your sister's drawers in her bedroom,
there's some things that you joke about, and there's some things that you just never speak about. Yes,
and you found handcuffs. Would you touch the handcuffs that your sister probably wore while she had an orgasm,
or somebody else wore while she was close to them having an orgasm,
and be like, ha ha ha, look what I found, ha ha, are these for?
These aren't even handcuffs. These are handcuffs attached to fucking chains. Shackles. These are shackles, yes.
This is for nothing but slavery or sex, or both.
Mm-hmm.
This is not for like a cop. This isn't an amateur magician.
When you said that thing, I was like, she's way too blasé about finding those handcuffs and just joking around with him. Yeah.
That could have pussy juice. It could have cum on it. It could have squirt piss on it. It could have fucking God only knows.
You know what? God bless you if that's your kink and you're getting fucking shackled. And at the end of it, there's fucking cum and fucking squirt all over those fucking handcuffs. You did your job right. Or somebody was doing
that's
the
what
job
I'm saying.
Right.
And then you see that and you're like, hey, sister, ha, 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 I'm touching this thing you touch when we fuck. Oh, my God. That's like, dude, I heard this great story that this woman was talking about how her husband, when they're going to be intimate, he'll put his hand on her hip in bed and start rubbing, right? And she said they were in public and he just was trying to move her really quickly because something was coming her direction, like a car or a bicycle. Yeah. And no. It was, and he grabbed her by the hip to move her, and she immediately Pavlovianly got horny because he touched her on the hip the way that he does in the bedroom.
That's some game shit.
So, dude, this chick is touching the brother's fucking cum cuffs. He might have got hard hearing them jingle, Tim. Pavlovian.
Yeah, we just need to see the scene where the dog is just like smelling them like crazy and licking them and all that shit and then whimpering. God. Yeah.
The dog's just humping the fucking couch cushion, sniffing the handcuffs. So anyhow, that night the dog fucking freaks the fuck out, right? So the mom's like, all right, dickhead, fine. Let's the dog out.
Mm-hmm.
And we see, oh snap, full moon tonight, so we know there's going to be trouble.
I mean, definitely. Oh yeah, we haven't found this out yet, but definitely if there's a full moon, there's going to be a werewolf. Yes.
Yeah. So what we discover though is that there's a werewolf chained with those handcuffs to a tree, thrashing around growling. And the dog just like looks at it like fucking Blue Velvet. And he's looking through the fucking blinds, the shutters of the closet.
Well, I mean, this goes back to the whole thing with, I guess, since the original werewolf movie, is where like where they know what's going to happen to them. They don't want it to happen. So they try to like put themselves in a place where,
control themselves. Yeah.
But chaining yourself to a fucking tree in the middle of the woods, that's like, what, maybe 3 minutes from your fucking house?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how that made any goddamn sense. If anything like that, he should have like a fucking safe room in the goddamn Airstream where he can go in and fucking lock himself in. That's what she should... Oh, man. She should have fucking found those fucking sex cuffs and like a fucking room that's just like a fucking metal sheet like at a fucking Texas Chainsaw Massacre. And like, what the fuck is going on?
Exactly, Tim. That's a very good point. She's like, wait a minute. You've got books on werewolves, sex cuffs. What, it smells room, in here. Yeah. A secret room with blood slides, like you're fucking Dexter Morgan. Like, yeah, there's a lot
the
of
problems. The Airstream looks
there.
Like it's 15 feet longer outside than it looks inside. What's behind that fucking fake wall? That's it.
Plus, they're in Washington State, and this guy's chaining himself naked to a tree. This is going to end up in Deliverance.
No, he's doing a Hulk. He has jeans on, right? Which,
yeah,
come on,
fair.
Movie. Just come on. Show us some fucking wolf cock or something like that.
I can get jeans off a person that's handcuffed. That is not a problem. Because what are they going to do?
That's true, yeah.
Not much, you know. But then Thor sees it, barks at him, and then fucks off. So I just write down, great, no more werewolves for 28 days. This is going to be a very easy movie.
Mm-hmm.
Next morning, Thor gets up and pisses on Ted's trailer.
Oh, man. This is where we get the show off, right? This is like the whole fucking showdown between this guy
this
and the
it.
Fucking dog. Yeah.
The conflict of this movie is man versus dog. And the dog is the good guy.
Mm-hmm. Don't forget, this movie is based on a movie that's from the dog's point of view.
Yeah, the book was from the dog's perspective. Mm-hmm. So we get a first-person perspective
on pissing
on... It's
a real Dean
Koontz
watches thing. Yes, exactly, yeah.
It's a real Dean Koontz TikTok thing. Mm-hmm. It's a real Dean Koontz Dragon Tears thing. It's a real...
Twilight Eyes.
It's a real chapter or two of half of Dean Koontz books thing. No, I'm good, buddy. But you're right.
Oh, wait, single woman threatened by some kind of thing that might be human or might be some kind of creature. That's a that's 90% Dean Koontz's books. That's why I stopped reading.
The problem is that it's also not potentially just her past trauma coming back to get her. Because if it was, then it could be a Dean Koontz book and it could be a fucking Flanagan movie. So, you know. Oh, man. So, okay. Yeah, Ted, he pisses on Ted's trailer. Mom's watching the news, and the news is like, yeah, there's a curfew in the area because wild animals have eaten the fifth fucking hiker today.
Okay, curfews don't work against animals, number one.
Right. Yeah.
Okay. Excuse me, Mr. Wolf. What are you doing out after 8 o'clock? You should be home in your den.
Yeah. Right, yeah, because wolves won't eat a human in the daytime.
And again, the first guy that we see killed by this werewolf, whatever it is, right, he is cut in half and impaled on branches up a tree 100 fucking feet. So let's what animals eat their prey and carry them up the trees? I know big wildcats do that, right? They'll take their prey up to a tree and eat it so that the other cats don't attack it.
Okay,
but
so
they
mountain
don't
lion.
Impale. The fucking thing to come back later on, right? They're not making a shish kebab.
Yeah, they also, if that guy's name was Bob, it'd be even funny. That's a good point. They also, I don't think, rip people in half.
Mm-hmm. Yes, and usually they eat them. Is he eating? Is this werewolf eating the people?
I mean, if you in werewolf mythology, I believe they do. Isn't that the point?
In the beginning of the movie, for some reason I have written down, why is this werewolf going to town on this chick?
Oh, just ripping her apart.
He's spending his sweet fucking time ripping her apart. He's like fucking like 3 fucking minutes with her biting her, ripping her apart.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Everybody else is
like
one bite or scratch and you're dead. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And he's ragdolling her. He's, because we're supposed to feel real bad for Uncle Ted.
Oh, it's a meatloaf vampire.
Yes. Yes. Meatloaf vampire.
Would you give him your throat?
Oh, man. So, okay. Ted, like, goes in to have breakfast with them. Mom pulls a bowl of muffins out of the microwave. That's fucking weird.
Too many muffins, also. Too many.
How?
This fucking rich bitch fucking lawyer making all this goddamn money to own that beautiful fucking house and make eight fucking... No, that's just a waste of fucking flour.
She put eight muffins in a bowl, put the bowl in the microwave, and then heated it up for family breakfast.
Maybe they were Edmonds, that's a, yeah.
No, she's got dementia. that's a weird behavior.
That is, first of all, that does come through inbreeding, right?
Fair
we
point.
We didn't see her webbed hands.
Oh, that's true. First of all, do you even microwave muffins? Is that a thing, Tim?
I don't know. Muffins aren't supposed to be hot, right?
No, I've never been like, man, I can't wait for a nice hot blueberry muffin.
Yeah.
Yeah. Second of all, you can
this
get
most of
your...
This is why her husband left her.
Because she's insane. Yeah. Second of all, you can get most of your breakfast foods in fucking cup noodle form now.
That's true. So disgusting why the flavors. Hell would... Yeah, what happened? Where's her husband? There's no mention at all about her being married, which I got no problem with her not being married, but there's no mention at all about either your husband died, your husband left you, or your boy. Because at one point he says to her, it's like, you know, I got to give you hats off. You're a single mom 100% of the time and a working mom 100% of the time. And I went, that math doesn't work out.
Yeah. No, a lot of math in this movie doesn't work out, Tim. Like the revolver with eight bullets.
I was counting.
Same.
But yeah, it's just
the minute. Yeah.
It's weird that there's no mention of whoever this kid's dad is in this movie. And there should be at least one throwaway line. And there was nothing. I watched it twice.
Maybe it's like a weird folk horror where she just woke up and had a kid one day.
Uh-oh.
You know what I mean?
Uh-oh. Maybe the father went off to some jungle. Then he was going to go to Egypt to try get ahead of the law.
That's a good point, Tim. Maybe the father's already back. I didn't check. What color were the kid's eyes?
Blonde hair, blue eyes. She has blonde hair, but I don't know. I can't remember what her eyes are. But Michael Paré kind of has those blue eyes. Yeah.
Yep. They all three have blue eyes, Tim. Yeah.
Just can't get away from it, Daddy.
I guess. Yeah. It's just fucking white fire.
Next week we're doing Taboo. Fuck it. Just dive into it.
Just going balls deep in it, literally, Tim. Yeah. So then the Ted scoffs at the wolf man that they're watching, by the way. Why you have to watch Wolfman for breakfast with your kid?
Weird. It's a weird time for it to be on, yes. Definitely a weird time for, especially, what year this come out?
96.
Okay, 96 is...
Not,
cable, yeah. That big of a thing where this might be on a channel at 9 o'clock in the morning? Is there a channel like, that this could be on in 1996?
Yeah, it could be on like Turner Classic Movies.
9 o'clock in the morning? My Fair
nine
Lady, maybe, right?
Rough,
fucking Oklahoma.
Yeah, Oklahoma
Paint
or Casablanca or some shit. Sound of Music in color.
Why? Was it in black and white?
No, what was the one he did and fucking he redid in color?
Oh, was that Casablanca? It's a Wonderful Life. That was the first one.
It's a Wonderful Life. Yeah, that's what it was. Yeah, so that's what it was. They were watching It's a Wonderful Life in color.
Jesus Christ, man. Yeah.
What a terrible fucking move. Nobody even cared.
Well, no,
nobody
I think it's a sad mood because there are people who weren't going to watch movies because they're in black and white.
Yeah, that's true.
So, hey, maybe if one more person saw It's a Wonderful Life because it was colorized.
Then I guess it truly was a miracle.
Then you go back and you watch the original in black and white. That's it.
Yep. And then a bell rings and an angel gets its wings, Tim. So then Ted scoffs at the wolfman. He's like, yeah, stupid wolfman. They don't just turn when it's a full moon. They'll turn when it's any sort of a moon.
So how many days out of the month is this, Eddie? How many days out of the month is there a moon in the sky?
How many days out of the month
average,
is there a moon?
Mm-hmm.
Most?
Yeah. So he's changing into a werewolf every single night.
Except for when there's like a no moon, right?
I mean, that's maybe what, so then, one or two days every like 2 months where there's no fucking moon in the sky?
I was just going to say, so now he's like a reverse werewolf. He's always a werewolf except when there's no moon.
Can't he just fly to states where there's no moon?
Yeah, that's a very good question.
What does he do in Alaska where it's 6 months of sun? Go to Alaska, well, then go to fucking the Antarctica. That's it. Problem solved.
I think they answered that in 30 days of night, Tim. That's a perfect scenario. Mm. But, Tim, it begs my question, which is what happens to werewolves on the moon?
That's true, yes.
It's always a full moon on the moon, baby.
Maybe it's a full Earth, eh? Yes.
Oh, man. So
that's up there with, can a vampire be a mirror?
Yeah, that's a good point, Tim. I don't think they can. So, all right. So then Ted gets all serious and he's all like, look, Janet, there's some fucking wolf out there that's killing shit. You need to make sure you've locked that fucking dog Thor of yours up at night. Mm-hmm. He's going to get killed or whatever. She's like, Jesus, calm down.
Not
dude.
Too much about the kid. He's more concerned about the dog.
Yeah, well, the kid, I don't think you have to lock up at night.
Well, I mean,
you do.
We hear about five fucking dogs being killed in the fucking forest. The people that are being killed, right?
Yeah. Plus, unless that kid's got like a sister across town, he's sneaking over to fuck. Like, I think we're pretty safe.
Yeah, he's not old enough to be hanging out, smoking cigarettes with his friends, sneaking out. So, yeah.
Yeah. No, he's just got to dress in weird little Lord Fauntleroy clothing and go to
that stupid fucking generic fucking sports fucking pajamas he's got on. Hit the goal. Score.
What the fuck, dude? What?
They spend that money on the budget on pajamas.
No. Is it that hard to just find plain clothing? Like without logos and shit?
It's a sports fucking pajamas where you don't see any actual sports where nobody can sue you. MLB doesn't own the copyright to hit.
That's a good
FIFA
point.
FIFA doesn't own goal, right?
They probably tried, though.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised. Yeah, with that guy.
With that fucking piece of shit? Yeah, that would not surprise me at all. So yeah, he tells him, bring the dogs in, and I'm going to go out and have a night run.
Yes, okay. So here I am making you worried and frightened about how there's a wild animal out there that at any moment could be killing and ripping everyone apart. Yeah, take your dog inside. I'm going to go out for a night run.
Well, she can hear the handcuffs jingling that he's hiding behind him with one of his hands.
So, does he have to be chained up as soon as the moon comes out? Or is it just as soon as it gets dark and the moon is somewhere in the sky?
Well,
does he have to see the moon? Or he can feel the moon, right?
But, I mean, he doesn't even say that when there's no moon out, I can't turn into a werewolf. He just says it could be any moon.
And even if where he is, there's no moon, there's a moon somewhere on the Earth, right?
Yeah.
So it's like that thing where it's like, hey, it's 5 o'clock somewhere.
Right. Yeah, exactly. So like, it's a full moon somewhere. Time to werewolf and eat this bitch. Yeah. That's, you know, just the kind of opportunistic werewolf. I like that. It's a good move.
Man, if I was a werewolf, I'd be fucking, I'd be wiping it up.
Be fun for a day or two every month. So Janet brings in the dog and he runs off in the middle of the woods at night with handcuffs. That's not suspicious in any way. Then this fucking shitty kid, the second the mom brings the dog in, just grabs the dog and puts it outside. I'm going to kill this fucking kid,
Tim. I like
Tim.
In this movie how nobody hears anything except for the person who's on camera.
Nobody.
The kid didn't hear all that shit going on. The ruckus. Supposedly the brother didn't hear all that shit going on. Because at one point she's like, oh, you know, Thor was going crazy last night. It's a good thing. He woke up the whole house, the whole neighborhood. It's a good thing you were in your Airstream.
It's like, well, Tim, their source material. The source material is from the perspective of the dog.
That's right. So this director was challenged with, how do I get the human thing into this?
How do I get dialogue. How do I get a human reaction to another human that makes sense?
I wonder how the dog figured out that this guy figured maybe the only cure for werewolfism was love. Natural born killers, you fucking so... hack. Only love kills the demon or the werewolf.
That made me so fucking mad. It really...
Stupid son of a fucking idiot bitch. Yes, that's...
Yeah. Yeah, I want to stab this fucking guy. That made me so fucking mad. Oh my god!
You know the one thing. Hats off. He tried science first, right?
He did. Yes. Yeah, okay. And then he devolved to love. So whatever. Anyhow, Thor fucking makes a line straight for the trailer. Gets into a fight with the werewolf. Right? Janet flips all the floodlights on outside. Lights this place up like fucking Madison Square Garden when the Who's playing.
So it's just a fucking just compound ridiculous. She's got going on. Yeah, dude, she's a prepper with those lights, I think.
Yeah. You know what it reminded me of is in Jason Goes to Hell. At the beginning of it, the cold open, where the chick sets him up.
Oh, man, that's so great. Where there's that one fucking chick in the fucking camp, and she's doing all the stupid shit. You're like, don't do that stupid shit, bitch. But she's a decoy.
She fucking runs, and then, does a fucking barrel roll off. If only the rest of the movie was that fucking good, dude. Man. It was so good. Yeah, just the floodlights, the fucking just tactical nuke in base. Oh, my God. Fucking love that. The rest of the movie sucks shit, but that was fantastic. So then Thor gets fucked up a little bit by the werewolf, and I was like, great. So can a dog become a werewolf?
Eddie. Okay. I have written down. So now it's a werewolf dog, right? But he does say, in the beginning, he does say that the full moon thing is bullshit, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Then he also says something about how the one thing I do know is that if you get bitten, you turn into a werewolf. And the dog isn't exactly bitten.
Oh, that's true.
He's only getting scratched. Him. But then I'm also thinking, dude, this is a fucking werewolf. That dog's head is off.
Oh, yeah. That first paw. If the first swipe from the werewolf ripped a man in half.
Mm-hmm.
But for, I don't know, though. This is Thor. This is a son of a god.
105-pound dog, yeah.
Yeah.
No way that dog's 105 fucking pounds.
So up there in the pantheon of questions with can a vampire be a mirror? Can a dog be a werewolf? I guess that'll be the poll question for this episode.
What happens if that dog werewolf then goes to Egypt and finds a mummy?
Ooh, and can he be cursed by the mummy? That's a good question.
The mummy's worst enemy is not a dog, it's a cat just unraveling him like a roll of toilet paper.
Yeah. They team up, and then the dog gets the bone and runs off and buries it. So anyhow, fucking Janet goes out to check on Ted after she, patches up the shitty fucking dog. And goes out, finds photos of his girlfriend, right? Now, Tim.
Man.
Tim, buddy.
Where did you get these developed? 1995. Where the fuck did you develop this shit? Because you got a fucking camper, right? You set up to make meth, not to fucking develop photos. There's no dark room in that fucking camper, right?
No. He had to have gone to Robin Williams in 1 hour photo. That's the only person I know who would have put up with that.
No, he found the last Kodak booth. He had to go all the way to Washington State to find it.
Yep.
It's right next to that last Blockbuster. Dude,
they don't ask questions. Okay, whatever the fuck
they're
you
just
need.
Happy. That's it. Yeah.
Yep. It's like the guy that gives you the tokens at the old jerk off booths in New York. That guy ain't making eye contact. He's not asking you questions.
Why do they need tokens? Why not just use regular fucking coins? What's the whole point of that shit?
Because it's funnier.
That's true. And one step of embarrassment. Like if you can get past that embarrassment of going up to some Tim Yobo guy with a coin thing on his belt, and you're like, I need 8 tokens, please. You're in for a pound.
No, psychologically, it's, I forget what that's called, but if you get somebody to convert real money to a fake currency, they no longer value it. That's how, like with all the video games, instead of like spend $10 to unlock this thing. It's like, oh, buy our virtual currency, buy our stubs,
yeah, buy our gems. Buy the VC. Yeah, that's true. Yeah, well, that makes sense.
Because then you can make it sound like a deal, Tim. Listen, you're spending $20, but you're getting 500,000 Yobucks.
That sounds like a good deal. Sign me up for that.
What's 500,000 Yobucks get you?
One token and a jerk-off booth.
Yeah,
I guess Wednesday at 2 o'clock in the afternoon.
Because I play the WWE game by EA, or no, that's not EA, it's 2K, but the same shit.
Man, how much are you getting? So, how many fucking microtransactions are on that goddamn thing?
I have never spent a penny on a fucking microtransaction. Never. Never. No, not any game. I will for Stellar Blade, but not for any other game. No, I was going to say, you didn't
buy that skin suit? That skin suit is free? In the demo, it's free, not in the real game. In the real game, that's just unlocked behind a paywall. You know that.
Tim, do you think I didn't get the deluxe edition?
So you did pay, see?
Because, well, but that wasn't a micro. That was a macro transaction.
Yes, you paid to the micro transaction up front. Instead of somebody who buys a game, like, I can't jerk off to this goddamn thing. Oh, man, it's fucking $9.99 for the battle pass.
I was going to say, Tim, $80 for a girlfriend that my wife can't be mad at because she's not on OnlyFans is a deal. So,
and it's only a one-time charge of $80. Not even $80 every month or every request.
Yeah, you pay it once and you enjoy it forever, Tim. That's all I got to tell you. Plus, I got the VR helmet. Oh, buddy, let me tell you something. It's going to get interesting, Mr. Yobo. So anyhow.
You're walking into walls with your erection.
I'm just poking holes in the sheetrock. So anyhow, she's looked at the first photo of the girlfriend. She's like, oh, she's cute. Second photo, not even fourth or
she
fifth.
She keeps going.
Second.
And then she keeps going.
Second photo is her ripped to shreds, dead.
Mm-hmm.
Why the fuck did this guy take a picture of that, get it developed, keep it, and keep it with the alive photos?
Yes, you usually keep those separate, right?
Yes. But yeah, no shit.
Also, like I said, she keeps going. She doesn't stop. That would be, you know, for me.
I gotta see more of this.
No, I just found fucking cuffs in my sister and my brother's fucking camper. And now this? I don't need to see any more. After this, get the fuck off my lawn.
You know what? Maybe she was flipping through to see if there are any sex photos. She could try to rub one out real quick. She's like, listen, he's not going to be back in another 10, 20 minutes tops.
Yeah, the full moon is until morning time, right?
Yeah, yeah. See, that's the thing I always wonder is, like, if you get busted, like, let's say you got busted, you got pulled over by a cop and you had a joint and you were smoking, right? The cop already saw it clearly. That's why he pulled you over. Don't freak out and be like, oh, shit, and try to throw it away and hide it or whatever. Just be like, you know what? I'm just going to finish it.
Well, eat it.
You know what I mean? Well, yeah, you could eat it, too, that's I it. Guess. Done. But if the cop saw you, he's like, hey, are you smoking a joint? Don't be like, oh, and try to hide it. Be like, yeah, you know, you got me.
It has been what my experience, but I will preface that with I am a white guy who has always been told I look like a cop, right?
Yeah, yeah, good point, Tim. Let me put a caveat on that. All of my legal advice only applies to white males. Mm-hmm. Anyway, yes. Continue.
And yeah, so don't worry. Get away with it. Just be white and polite. That's it. There was one time. I told the story with my friend Spiro and his wife Zelka to see Ozfest, and this fucking idiot just wouldn't listen to me. Like, there's some places where you smoke and there's some places where you don't. Okay, and in the fucking parking lot, he decides a great place to light up a fucking joint is behind a fucking van. Okay.
Yeah.
Now, usually when that happened back in the day, one person was smoking, the other person was on the lookout while that other person was smoking, right?
But exactly, yeah.
Here's my problem is we're in Jersey. The cops don't wear the same color uniforms as New York City cops do. So I didn't recognize them right off the bat. And by that point, they were on us, right? And they separated us. And my idiot friend Spiro is arguing back and forth with the cops. And I'm like, you know what? Yeah, you caught us. We were smoking a joint. I'm not going to lie to you. I even told him I had two more joints in my fucking pack of Marlboros in my back pocket because I knew they're going to search me, right?
Oh, yeah. They got you. Yeah.
That's it. And yes, and that's how we got away with it because I was white and I was so white and so polite, I made up for him being an asshole with arguing with the cops. And at one point, I was like, dude, shut the fuck up, okay? Don't make it any worse.
Yeah. What happened with his girlfriend, Zagnut?
Oh, they weren't boyfriend, girlfriend. They were married, yeah.
Oh, yeah. So, but Zagnut didn't get in trouble?
No, she was smart enough because they brought their son with them, who was only about like 7 or 8 at the time. And it was one of those things where he looked and he goes, me and Tim are going to go for a walk. And the look that she gave him, I'm like, yeah, she knows what we're doing and she does not approve of it either.
Yeah.
But, you know, here's another thing, too, is kids know a lot more than they think they do, than you think they do, because a couple of weeks later, we were walking in Central Park, and the kid comes up to me, and he tugs on my shirt, and he goes, that'd be a good place for you and Daddy to go smoke. And he points to a place that's out of the way. And I'm like, oh, shit.
That's a good kid, man. That rules. Fuck yeah.
Yeah, so legal advice only applies to white guys who look like they could be cops and who are polite and willing to kiss a cop's ass.
Yes,
sir.
If you look like you might have voted for Trump but told your wife you didn't, that's who my legal advice is.
Oh, look, I have a picture on my phone. I took a picture inside the voting booth. Get out of jail free card. Look at that.
Of course, I hate Trump. I'm with Hillary. anyhow, so so she then just like starts reading the dude's werewolf journals. I'm like, dude, he killed the girlfriend. You can leave now, right, Tim? Get the fuck out of here.
I mean, look, there's a diary, right? You might as well make 100% sure what's going on.
Yeah. Okay, well, how about this then? When you read the diary and it says, I think the only thing that can tame the wild beast that lives inside of me is family love.
No. 5150 this asshole at that point, right?
Yeah, Tim. What do you think family love and wild beast inside of me means?
And when he did see her, it made his heart feel good.
That's true. Yeah, it did make him feel a lot better, Tim. That's
he does live in a big silver cock that's parked in her backyard, right?
Yes, he does literally live in a silver cock. That's a good point. Yeah. Oh, my God. But, yeah, dude, I mean, come on. And anytime you're reading, like, it sounded terrible. It sounded fucking frightening. It's like, okay, yeah, now I'm going to call the police. Well, she doesn't call the police. Anyhow.
Well, look, I might be wrong, but isn't the whole thing with, like, werewolves kind of like vampires? Where it's a sexual thing, right? That they just couldn't talk about, and that's how it was built up, where this is the guy that ravishes you and all that other stuff. So there's only a brother and a sister and a nephew, I guess, right? Yeah.
Yeah, the nephew.
He's not going to fuck the sheriff.
Part of that, I also think, like, part of the werewolf thing was families would have, like, too many kids, and one of the kids came out a little, you know?
Yeah.
And then they're like, oh, yeah, Winston lives in the woods now. And then occasionally there was a really hairy guy that couldn't talk.
Back then, everybody was hairy. What the fuck are you talking about? Nobody was shaving.
Well, a naked hairy guy? That couldn't talk and maybe was very much into trains or something.
True, yeah. A male Nell.
You know? And that was just what they did to autistic people back then. They just made them live in the woods.
Yeah, that's true, yeah.
So there's werewolf.
That's not literally true, but that is just being autistic
true.
Or anything like that, like 300 years ago, must have been fucked up, yeah.
Yeah, they'd make you live in the woods and then they'd call you Bigfoot. Or a werewolf or whatever. And that's where all that folklore came from. So anyhow, the scammer guy comes back with a hatchet.
Oh my
to
God.
Kill the dog.
A month fucking later, okay? This is a month the planet.
This is 2 days.
No, is it? It's a month later because later on, the sheriff says to her, this is the guy who came here a month ago, right?
Yes, that's right. Well, okay, because then I guess the contention is that it has to be during a full moon because it's a month later. But he said it doesn't have to be during a full. What the fuck?
Maybe
is
it's
this
worse
movie
during
doing?
A full moon. Doesn't have to necessarily. Yeah. Maybe he just looks like a Greek guy on the beach on like a small moon, right?
I remember dating a chick that told me that the week before her period, she had bad cramps, so she would be in pain and irritable.
Mm-hmm.
And then for the week after, she also had cramps and would be irritable. Mm-hmm. And I said, so you're telling me that three out of every
days.
Four
yeah.
fucking weeks, your life sucks? Mm-hmm. Notice I said girlfriend, not wife. Mm-hmm. So just a pro tip for you ladies out there.
Yeah, don't tell us about your mental problems. We don't want to hear it.
If you want to marry a guy like me, just shut up a little bit.
Just say, I get my period and it makes me funny and horny.
Never. There's never a disease that you're like, you know what? I got sick and my dick got bigger and my acne cleared up. No disease is ever positive. They all fucking suck.
One day,
so
though.
So stupid.
One day we're going to find that.
One day, yeah. One day. I guess maybe porn addiction could be a positive. Keeps those ladies employed. So,
yeah, that's right. I mean, so far it's worked for me. Hasn't been a negative yet.
Yeah. As long as you're not spending money on
it. No, as long as I'm not writing a journal about it, yes.
Yeah, that's a good point too, Tim, about how the power of family love is going to save you. So anyhow, yeah, dude shows up, and this is that kill you're talking about, Tim. Werewolf guy rips the fuck out of him. Throws part of him like a fucking football toss.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, the part of him, his hand with the like split between the two fingers and the other finger just fucking hanging there. Oh my God.
One of the best fucking scenes I think I've ever seen in a movie. It's really, it's just
really,
I've never seen a finger hanging by a fucking hair. Literally. It's hanging by just a little piece of flesh. That's it.
They nailed it, dude. They nailed that effect. That scene, they fucking, that's where
that's
the $7
where the
million
went. Yeah. They spent $6.5 million on that one scene.
Yeah. So
the
next day, the cop shows
up. Ripoff artist, yeah.
So the next day, the cop shows up. It's like, so, hey, that scammer fella that came by here, yeah, his name's Jim.
Mm-hmm.
He's fucking dead. And he got ripped apart by a pack of wild animals.
Right outside your house, across the street on the road, down the road a piece, yeah.
But, hey, I noticed there's a silver Winnebago here. That's the same one I saw where all the other people were ripped apart miles away from here. Anyhow, we think your dog did it. So, just so you know, once dogs are like sharks, and once they get a taste for human blood.
This is the worst part of the movie. This is really the worst part of this movie for me.
Okay.
Dude, you don't do that to your fucking dog.
Oh, God, yeah. So this is hilarious, though, because Jane confronts Ted. She's like, where the fuck were you last night? And the dog's barking. Mm-hmm. Ruff, 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 ruff. Then Ted.
Wait, did we skip over the part where there was a showdown, whether or not the dog was going to let him out of the fucking Winnebago?
Oh, no, yeah, go right ahead. That scene was fucking pointless and drug on. But yeah, please.
He comes out of the fucking airline or whatever the fuck it's called. And as soon as he steps a foot down, the dog is like growling at him. And he like backs up. And when he goes back in and then he starts looking out the curtain of the window to see if the dog is still there. I'm like, this is when I'm like, 1000% this is written from the fucking point of the dog in this book. There's no fucking way that you're going to do this fucking scene without this, without the fucking dog just sitting there with like, I must protect. I smell something weird, but I don't know what it is. Also, you know, this is kind of a stupid dog. He should be able to smell that this is the same fucking person.
Yeah, he absolutely should smell the fucking
scent trail goes from Michael Paré to werewolf. The dog can't be that stupid, right?
No, the dog's pretty smart, we find out. He's pretty capable. As a matter of fact, he saves the day at the end of the movie. So, oh my God, fucking terrible. Anyhow.
But it looks like a real movie.
So, it does.
Out of all the movies that we've done in a long time, this is the one that looks like the most like a real fucking movie.
Yeah. I'll give you that. It's probably the most competently...
No, I won't say that. But it just it just has the veneer of a real movie.
Yeah. You know what? Like I was saying, it's their caliber of like how it looks with like The Good Son. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. It's that era. It looks it. You could tell me it was the same director. I'd be like, yeah, maybe. Except this movie sucks. But okay. So yeah, Janet confronts Ted, right? And she's like, "Where the fuck were you last night?" Then Ted does the Shining to the dog and winks at it, and makes the dog attack. Yeah, because
throughout this whole thing, they've been taunting each other back and forth. It's like, "Oh, he recognizes another old dog. Oh, soon enough, old fella, soon enough." And then we get this. Yeah. Yes.
So, but he incites the dog to attack him by winking at the dog. Is that like a thing for dogs? If you wink at them, they hate it.
I think if you have a security dog, a police dog, you do not want the signal to be a wink and a nod to attack.
No.
Which, by the way, you don't want the thing is too is in movies. I worked in a pet food store and I actually had a dog do this to me. I put the protective thing on my arm and I had a stick in my hand and I was trying to do that and all that stuff. Which, dude. Those fucking dogs can fuck you up easy. That shit's not easy to keep your hand up like that. But why is it always the hand that they go for? Go for the fucking throat. Go for the balls.
I think he does go for the balls at the end of the movie. They don't show it, but that's what I imagined. So when you did that, when you put the whole suit on, Tim, did
it wasn't it wasn't the whole suit. It was just literally the arm. I just had a pair of jeans and a t-shirt on. Yeah.
So when they put the thing on your arm, did you have to wink at the dog to make it attack you?
No, all I had to do was to make a threatening move to the guy. He said one word in German, and that was it. That dog was off the fucking leash with a quick-release collar and on my fucking arm. And it wasn't 105 pounds, whatever it was. It was only a couple minutes I could hold my fucking arm up with that dog. And he was just fucking – that dog basically jerked me off right in the middle of the street.
He jerked you off in the street? Uh-huh. It's a good dog. You got a guy shouting at you in German, a dog jerking you off in the street, and you're winking to him. It sounds like a fucking afternoon, buddy. I was just trying to remember,
the last time my arm moved like that was when I was jerking off. Yeah, so.
So then, okay. Then, like, the dog attacks the shit out of him, and he freaks out. He's like, goes back. And the Janet drags the dog into the house, locks it up in the fucking spare bedroom or whatever.
Yeah, she punishes
opens the door, Tim.
Well, no, hold on, because we forget the whole thing, because the sheriff told her, like, once your dog, like, look, I don't know what happened to that guy. Who gives a fucking shit? He's a fucking con artist. We're a small town. Whatever, whatever happened, right? But, once a dog bites a person and they get that taste, that's it. They're ruined for life, can't be true, right?
No, it's the shark thing. It's Jaws. Once they get a taste for human blood, there's no stopping them, But, yeah, that was a thing they used to say about animals back in the 90s. You remember that? That people would just make that shit up, but, yeah.
Yeah, all right, hold on. Let's take this out. Let's say this is true, right? So if you have a good dog who saves somebody's life by biting a burglar or a potential rapist or murderer, that's it? You had to put that dog down because now he's got a taste for human flesh? No.
Yes. So, Tim, I'll tell you now, it's the same logic as like Mogwai, how they can't eat after midnight. It doesn't matter how midnight good the somewhere. Mogwai is. It doesn't matter how good the Mogwai is. It still turns it bad. So, yeah, if your dog bites a prowler, sorry, dude, you got to put it down.
See, that's what made me an atheist. There's just something. No, that just doesn't make sense. That's not how
made
it,
you an atheist?
No, that and I told you before, made me an atheist was that when I asked a sister if somebody was Jewish and they never did anything wrong and they lived their life perfectly when they die, and she cut me off and said, hell. So, yeah, hell, you can't have a good dog fucking save somebody's life and bite somebody, and that's it. The dog is going to be fucking put down because now we got a taste for biting humans.
Okay. So this is just a an analog to the problem of evil, which is what made you an atheist.
Yes.
Okay. No, that makes sense. Well, it's the whole, if God is maximally powerful, then how can he allow suffering to happen and not do anything to prevent it? Right.
Oh, that, because and why is he playing a fucked up game with the devil?
Yeah, that's fun. Well, they have to figure out who they got to count. They got to tally up the score.
Isn't God cheating?
With the Jesus
thing? No, with the devil. There's a battle back and forth between God and the devil. God knows he's going to win. No matter what the devil does, he can never win. The devil's going to get a straight flush. God's going to have a royal flush, right? So,
yeah. That's true. God will just change the rules
of
poker.
Yeah, it's kind of like the Harlem Globetrotters versus the Washington Generals. That's your whole religious base right there.
Yeah. You know what? I'd be more into that. I'll be honest with you. So then, Tim, the guys with the big fucking bird nets and the white suits come, and they round up
Jesus
Thor.
Jesus Christ, man. This is the roughest scene in this whole fucking movie, for real.
That tear your heart apart? Yeah. Well, you'll be happy to know, Tim.
He's only doing what he's supposed to do. What? They have a fucking German Shepherd. Otherwise, they'd have a fucking Shih Tzu, right? Or a fucking poodle. You get a German Shepherd to protect you and to be a great fucking dog.
It's a werewolf movie.
Yeah.
It's okay, buddy. And here, this will make you feel better. The people that played the animal control officers that came and got Thor, they were the animal trainers.
I figured that
as well.
Because that dog, Jesus Christ, man, that fucking dog. The acting this dog is doing while they're fucking putting those fucking collars around him and pulling him out.
Yeah. So you know how they did that to make the dog freak out like that while they put the collar on him? They put Icy Hot on his balls.
No, they didn't.
Oh, I had you for a second. I watched your face fall.
Yes, it did.
Like, oh, God. Oh, God.
No.
Looked like somebody put it on your balls.
Put it on my balls. So leave the dog alone. I'll take that hit.
Wait,
for the
Tim,
dog.
Are you really telling me they couldn't do that shit in the 90s? Have you not heard of Milo and Otis?
Yeah.
I know that was 86, but... Close enough, man. How many animals fucking died?
I mean, look, we had 10 dogs. We have 8 at the end of the shoot. It's okay. It's good enough, right?
Yeah, it's a crap shoot. You mean
you did a poor job on this shoot?
This
dog is really such a great fucking actor. Also, the other thing we didn't mention before, when that fucking con man shows up, there's a scene where he's on his back, and that dog is literally like 2 inches away from his fucking face.
Oh, yeah.
Barking, and
yeah,
like
when
the
he has
teeth
the...
are showing and everything like that. So I don't know how they filmed that. That had to be a tough day.
They put a finger in the dog's ass behind the camera.
How you stop
you can't
the
see
dog.
It. No, you pull it out to stop the dog.
No, once you pull it out, you lose your power.
No, you just show him a bigger finger. You go, that was the pinky.
Every time the dog goes to a baseball game, he sees that big fan hand. Oh, shit.
Just starts fucking biting everybody.
I'll be a good boy. I'll be a good boy.
Yeah. In another event, the Yankees finally fucking won a game.
I mean, the Yankees or the Mets? Yeah.
Yeah, the Mets, that's a good point, yeah. Your buddy Valls or whatever has a dog on the team for MLB 24.
Westy is a Mets fan, yeah, and so am I. So, for a long time suffering.
Technically, there's nothing in the rules that say you can't have a dog in MLB 24. So,
the new patch, who knows, right? Looks like Wang Wang.
That'd be pretty
cool. Right?
That'd be pretty cool if you could get, you could get Air Bud. That'd be pretty awesome.
Yeah, remember when games had cool things like that, where you could, like, change it? Was this some game where you could fight as a fucking tiger?
Oh, yeah. You had, like, your Tekken games.
Tekken. That was the one, yeah.
Yep. Oh, dude,
and he had, like,
a
Chippendales outfit on or something like that?
Yeah, he was a sexy guy. No, there's a petition going on now because... They're trying to, in the new Tekken game that's coming out, one of the lead designers of it was like, can you guys suggest locations for fights to take place?
Oh God,
you know, like new arenas?
Don't ask the public for ideas, because otherwise you end up with Bodie McBoatface. And where is there going to be the location for this inside somebody's asshole?
They nailed it. No, Tim. They nailed it. Waffle House. Perfect, right?
You know what?
So
you know what? Yeah,
pretty
yeah,
good.
That is pretty good.
So then,
if you're a Waffle House, you gotta lean into that shit, man. Because you know what?
Oh yeah.
Nobody's going to the Waffle House at 3 o'clock in the morning unless you're ready for a fight, anyway.
Exactly. So Tim, the producer of the game, who's a Japanese man, has no idea what the fuck they're talking about. He's like, I don't understand why you're suggesting this. This is a business that owns the rights to the name Waffle House and also the design of the stores and everything. He's like, plus it'd be very difficult to do so. And I also don't understand. So people are trying to explain to like a 70-year-old Japanese man why it's funny to put Waffle House in Tekken 8. And I'm there for it. So
I'll sign that petition.
Sign that petition, buddy.
Make a DLC, right? You don't understand it? Make money off of it. That's it.
Can I tell you my favorite part of the scene where they're dragging the dog out, though? Is when they go to Ted, when the camera zooms over to Uncle Ted, and he gives the quick...
Man. I'm like, dogs don't understand that shit. What the fuck, man?
No, but the fucking people that are dragging the dog out see you. The mother could see you.
Yeah, but no, the people are showing that they think it's a bad dog.
Yeah, but he's waving at it like a fucking Shooter McGavin from Happy Gilmore, Tim. You don't do that.
I have written down my notes.
It's
like, you son of a bitch, you just gaslit a dog.
Yeah, exactly. You did the crazy woman trope to the dog.
This dog is hysterical. Put it in a mental institution, yes. So I can live with my other dog on the side.
Don't talk about hysteria and their treatment of women back in the day, Tim, because that just means they're going to dildo the dog now.
Can I just say something for real? For real.
Yeah.
Why the fuck now for did real. That doctor invent a vibrator? Because up until that point...
his hand got tired.
Dude, my hand can never get that tired. Unless I own the patent on the fucking vibrator, I'm going to make $1 billion off of this goddamn thing. Because, again, I read it in a Chuck Palahniuk book, so I don't know if it's true, but I think it was the second electronic device, device that used electricity that was listed in the Sears catalog behind the washing machine.
That makes sense.
It makes perfect sense. I'm going to believe that's true. But yeah, dude...
What's funnier is that prescription for female hysterics, what Tim's talking about is they used to manually masturbate women when they were misbehaving because they
called it female hysteria. No, not
misbehaving.
No, I'm not talking mental institution. It was just like a woman was going to a doctor, like, I feel a lot of stress. I don't know what's going on. Mm-hmm. I don't feel stress. I feel stress. I feel hungry. I don't feel hungry. I feel sleepy. I don't feel sleepy. And the prescription was, let me finger bang you.
So basically, when women couldn't keep up with the chores and they had them on fucking crazy speed pills back in the day, and the women were losing their fucking mind because they were gacked out and depressed because their life sucked, they went to a doctor, and the doctor would manually masturbate them to relieve that. But where that came from, Tim, was actually fucking Freud, because back in the day, he came up with the idea of this female hysteria and then started interviewing these women that suffered from it and found out that a lot of them had been molested by their dad, right? And this was in like wealthy, well-to-do families who could afford him. So he was going to write a report about it saying like, hey, guys, maybe don't molest your daughters. But then the people who were financing him.
Oh, my God.
We're like, maybe we would rewrite this a little bit. Maybe it's, let's go with the male angle of it. And there came the Oedipus complex. Just swap the genders and change the role. And,
well, I mean, my question is, after like the third visit to your doctor, can't you figure that shit out for yourself, ladies?
Well, that's how they sold cigarettes to women. That's for damn sure. Like, listen, ladies, you just went to the doctor and you've had a long day. Get a Parliament.
It's good for your teeth.
Yeah, it's good for what ails you. That's for damn sure. So, all right, then no shit, Tim. This is it. Right after he Shooter McGavin waves at Thor and smiles, getting drug off to the fucking dog.
This is your favorite part of the movie. Yeah, this is it.
I fucking love it. He walks out and pisses on the fucking doghouse. Because all I see is the doghouse, and I'm like, you know, if I was writing this, I'd have him piss on the doghouse.
Eddie approved script, yes.
Fucking does. So that's
and what, that doghouse cost $5 million to build.
Dude, that was a hell of a doghouse, man.
It's pretty nice. You know, fuck that. The dog was never in it, though.
That's how it goes.
Picture some
right?
dog squatter moves in and claims property rights on that doghouse, and all of a sudden she's got to give up the mortgage. Ugh.
Yeah. Great. There's like fucking 19 chihuahuas living in the goddamn thing.
No. Why'd you have to pick chihuahuas? Come on.
Because they're small. They'd fit in it, Tim. Why? What are you implying?
You could fit a lot of chihuahuas in a German Shepherd's house, yes.
Yeah, they're the smallest dog I can think of, and my family used to breed them.
I think smallest dog is a Pekingese, isn't it?
Smallest one I could think of, Tim. I think it'd be funny if you were a dog breeder, if somebody's like, so you're a dog breeder? And you're like, no, we call it making love.
I think they call it making money.
Yeah, that's what it is, all
Don't
right.
Don't ever buy a dog or a cat off a breeder. That's it.
So after he pisses on the fucking doghouse, he heads in the house and has a slice of pie with his sister. This pie
is cherry
looked
pie?
Like it looked like shit pie is what it looked like. Well, I
so he's eating the pie
what,
from
Tim,
behind. Turn the pie, pie around. It doesn't taste like shit anymore.
damn. That's a good one. That's two jokes, actually. That's the what was it? The scratch and sniff sticker. And this one smells like pussy. You scratch it, you sniff it. It smells like shit.
No, see, the one that I first heard of when I bought my first book of like 1001 dirty jokes or gross jokes, it was a guy who invented an apple that tasted like pussy. And he gave it to his friend to test it. And the guy goes, it tastes like shit.
Tastes
and he
like
goes,
shit
turn it around.
Flip it over.
Yes.
Yeah. There's another one that's it's a guy's honeymoon. He's going to bang his wife and they're both virgins, right? And he's nervous. He doesn't know how to bang her, right? So his buddy's like, all right, well, I'll rent the room next to you. Just run in the bathroom and then through the little vent thing, I'll tell you, you know, what's going on, right? What to do.
Cyrano, yes.
He's like, okay, cool. Yeah, so yeah, exactly. A less romantic version. So then he's there. The wife gets all naked. She's like, all right, do me. And he's like, cool, I got to go to the bathroom first, right? So he runs in the bathroom, and he's talking to his friend. He's writing down notes. He's got little crib notes on his fucking wrist, you know? He's like, all right, twist this, spin that, lick that, flick that, pretend I'm her brother, yada, yada, yada. Right, that whole thing. Call her Mike, even though your name's Mike, my name's Frank. I owe you.
It'll confuse her. So, you know? Yeah.
And he's like, it's taking so long. The wife's like, I got to shit. And then he's like, well, you can't shit. I'm in the bathroom. So she's like, damn it. So she takes a shoebox and shits in it, and she stuffs it under the bed. Right.
Oh my God! See, this is what's incredible. Every generation has a different version of this joke. I know exactly what it is. Is the punchline all is forgiven? Just tell me where it is.
No, that's not it. So then he goes back out there. He's eating her pussy, right? And then he smells something. He's like, "Oh, something doesn't smell good in here, right?" And she's like, "I know what you're talking about." And he's like, "I don't know." And he's looking around. He gets the shoebox out. He pulls it out, and he's like, "Oh my God! This box is full of shit." And in the bathroom, he just hears, turn her over, turn her over.
Okay, see, the way that I thought the joke was good, the one that I remember is that some guy is banging another guy's wife, and the husband comes home, and he hides in the closet.
Yeah.
And the wife, to cover up why she's naked in the bed and everything's going on, she decides that she's going to cover it up by fucking her husband, and this dude has to take a shit like he's never had to take a shit before, so he shits in a hat box. And he puts it back in the thing, and like 2 weeks later, he gets a note. He gets a letter from the husband, like, "All is forgiven. Just tell us where it is."
It's pretty good. No, that's a similar joke. That's a good one. All right, so I'll do a last one here because we're having some joke fun, and three is always funnier than
it's
two.
A comedy of threes.
So, woman goes to the place where the dude bought the Mogwai, right? And she's looking at all the weird antiquities, and she sees a severed penis in a box, right? And she's like, what the fuck is this, right? And the guy working there, and I'm not going to do a racist Chinese
Thank
accent.
God, yes.
So the guy working
hold on. Mate, if you join the Patreon,
I
what
will.
Level? It's Patreon, a $20 level, and you can hear Eddie do the racist version of this, yes.
Yep, I'll play the sitar. You'll hear the gong in the background, the weird bamboo water things, the tip. Yeah. whole shebang. I get in a geisha outfit. It's great. You'll love it. No, so she's like looking around, right? And she sees a cock in a box, and she asks the guy there, "What the fuck is this?" And he's like, "Oh, that's the voodoo dick, right?" And she's like, "What the fuck's a voodoo dick?" And she's like, "He's like, watch this, right?" And he has a pet monkey on his shoulder, right? And he says, "Voodoo dick, this monkey, right?" And
then wait, this guy's an Italian? Flies.
Yeah, he is okay. Italian. And the voodoo dick flies out of the box and fucks the monkey, right? And then she's like, "That's crazy." And he's like, "All right, voodoo dick down." And he goes back in the box. And then she's like, "Well, how much is it?" And he's like, "All your money." And she's like, "Of course," and gives him all the money. So she goes home. She gets it out. She lays on the bed. She's like, "All right, voodoo dick my pussy," right? So the thing starts fucking. Her husband comes home, you know, and he smells sex in the air. So he goes upstairs to his wife, and he says, "Hey, I smell sex in the air." And she pulls the blanket over herself. And she's like, "What the fuck's going on? Who were you fucking in here?" Right? And she's still getting fucked by this thing. She's like, nobody. And he's like, "What the fuck is going on?" And she's like, no. And she could barely think. She's like, "Oh, it's the voodoo dick." And he's like, "What the fuck are you?" And she's like, "No, it's the voodoo dick, honey." He's like, "Yeah, voodoo dick my ass."
Oh, God.
All right, let's stop at 3 because 4 is going too far.
We'll stop at 3.
We can go, 4 is too much. This could be a 6-hour podcast with all the jokes that I remember about. Yes,
that's true. All right, so then they're eating the shitty pie, and then Uncle Ted tells the little boy to sit in his lap.
Yo, he's doing a whole fucking power thing here. Like, get over here. He's doing a fucking scorpion.
Yeah, I'm dad now.
Scorpion.
I'm the alpha now. I bet in the book it made more sense. Well, wait, how would the dog know this is going on?
That's...
Man, shoddy writing right there, buddy.
Can he smell this happening? So, can he hear it? Maybe he can hear it. Wait, he's not even there anymore.
No, he's at the pound.
So for the rest of this movie, until the dog gets rescued, which, you know what?
Yeah.
Hats off. Fuck you, kid. This is a great fucking kid. I love this fucking kid doing this shit 100% back in him. Yes.
No, yeah.
But yeah, so, how did the dog know this happened?
Because I guess when the dog came home, Uncle Ted's crotch smelled like the little boy. So he's like, well, clearly the little boy was sitting in his lap.
Okay. So it's like the dog can smell cancer tumors. He can smell sexual abuse. Cancer tumors.
I didn't say sexual abuse. I said he smelled the little boy on Uncle Ted's lap.
Yes, okay.
That's
how the dog can differentiate between what happened. Whether he was just sitting on his lap, okay, there was no penetration. Right. I don't smell anything funny. Yeah,
that's true. And in the immortal words of what was his name, R. Kelly, if there ain't no penetration, it's not illegal. Janet marches in there and is like, "All right, Ted, you have to tell me right now, where's Audrey?" And I'm like, "Who the fuck is Audrey?" Oh, that was the girl at the beginning that died, that he has a dead picture of. Okay.
Yeah, she's leading into your thing, here goes a little thing. She's like, "If I ask you a question, you're not going to lie to me, right?" And it's like, of course not. I mean, that's when she asks the question. And like, yeah, just say like she left, like she stayed in Costa Rica. She stayed in fucking Transylvania, thing is supposed to be taking place.
Yeah, he just says she's in Seattle. Maybe she is. Maybe he buried the remains of her in Seattle, Tim. Technically, that's not a lie. Mm. So anyhow, the kid goes upstairs. He's like, "Yeah, fuck you all." Packs his shit up, hops out the fucking window, gets on his bike,
almost
and
breaks
rides
his fucking
to
kneecaps
the...
too.
Dude,
this is a crazy fucking jump, man. Come on, you gotta figure out some way to get out of your fucking house better than fucking jumping 2 stories.
That's a bad fucking move. Though whoever the little person was, they made jump off of the house for the stunt.
Probably in that wrestling show that you saw. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Maybe it's that 2-foot guy. So, yeah, he fucking hops off on his bike, fucking rides off, right?
My knees aren't that good that after that fucking jump, I can get on a fucking bike and fucking pump my way up uphill.
Tim, if I jumped out of a window like that, I'd shit my spine out.
I one time, as maybe like, maybe 12, maybe 13, I jumped out of the apartment I was living at that time, was on the first floor.
Mm-hmm.
I jumped out. I almost broke my fucking ankle.
Yeah. You're not meant to jump off of shit. That's, we're humans. Mm. We're not fucking, I don't know, Sonic the Hedgehog. No,
it would have been great if that fucking kid didn't have fucking just like put his legs straight out. Instead of bracing for it, he's just like, yeah, you know, fuck that shit. It's like, all of a sudden, his fucking legs are coming out of his shoulders.
Just his femur coming out of his ass. He's like, ah, oh, mom, I fucked up. You got to go rescue the dog for me. So, okay. Kid runs off, right? Hops on his bike. He rides out to the pound to rescue the dog. Ted pops out of his trailer with his cuffs. He's going to go, you know, cuff himself mm-hmm. to the tree again. And, okay, they're outdoors in Washington State, and the dogs are just kept open air. That's...
Yes, that's problematic. Yes, it was. It's one of those less funded shelters, all right?
Yes. Yeah. So the movie budget didn't go to the shelter.
Oh, this is like that's Tiger King, sure. but with werewolves.
Oh, yeah. Yep. There you go. It's this big fucking scam is what it is. I bet that's where the husband went. Fed to the fucking wolves.
Carol Baskin in the moonlight. Yes.
Carol Baskin in the moonlight.
Now I put that Van Morrison song in. Yes. Whoever wrote that song.
Nah, Tim, I've only got one fucking song for this movie. Mm-hmm. You know what that is. Because it's an incest movie. Okay, so then he fucking chains himself to the tree. Janet walks out there, finds her naked brother chained to a tree. And
well, no, hold on. No, here's what's the worst. He smells her first.
Oh, God, right? That's right, because he's not even chained up. He smells his sister. And he literally, the character in, I know this sounds like a joke, the character in this movie says, "I smell your cunt." And I said, "Silence of the Lambs, you hack."
Did he throw that werewolf shit in the face?
Oh, God. Yeah. His fucking weird jism jewel.
And then the son showed up and said, "Run! I don't know how fast a werewolf can come again."
Oh, God. Yeah. Wait. What's a refractory period in dog ears?
Oh, shit. That's a good question. Damn. Yeah. Look at that.
I know. That's the kind I come up with. I ask the Biden questions, Timmy.
Is it years or minutes?
I don't know. I know they got that knot thing that's got to go down, so that could be a problem for
that's
her.
That's true, yes.
Anyhow,
locked into that shit, literally. Yeah.
The number of chicks that are into that and that get tentacle dildos that they put fake cum in and fuck themselves with it for my amusement because I pay them. It's disgusting. So anyway.
You don't have an OnlyFans account.
No, Tim, buddy. Let me tell you what happens on Twitter nowadays, man. Don't click on shit and start reading the comments anymore because it's insanity.
Dude, for real. You know what? Since this cocksucker bought Twitter, every single fucking week, my screen time has gone down like 20%.
Yeah.
At least.
It has to.
It's that's incredible. Look, just hashtag Gaza, and you're going to see pussy.
And Tim, I asked it on Twitter, but I'm going to ask the question on the podcast. I want you guys
so
to answer
reach,
this for
yes,
me honestly. Because
you didn't get that blue check mark, yeah.
That's very true. He did cancel it after I fucking
yeah,
did the
canceled.
Charge back on it.
Oh, shit.
Yeah. So I don't think they'll let me get another blue. Oh, they probably will now. Anyhow, here's the question for you. How is pussy in bio different than dick in DMs? If you don't want to see somebody's genitals and you see them.
I'm going to go back to old school. It's just a woman's body is more beautiful to look at than a male's body. So it's less offensive to me seeing a pussy in a DM or a bio than it is for somebody to send me a dick pic.
What if I'm watching a penis go into a vagina?
That's a conflict.
It is. I felt very conflicted. And then I felt my penis. And then I felt less conflicted.
we're just trying to get people to send us pussy pics. That's it. That should be a new thing. How is that called? Dick pic? Pussy pic.
No, Tim. I'm telling you, glistening large asses. Not. I don't want to see your pussy. Okay. That's
very woke of you, Eddie. Yes. It just has to be a glistening ass. So yes.
Yeah, I didn't even say a woman's ass.
That's true. Yes. Dudes, okay, if you got junk in the trunk, make a video game.
Yeah, and send it to Tim.
Yeah, see, when's the video game going to come out where there's some dude with that kind of fucking shit going on, and that's the fucking main draw of the game?
There's that showering with your dad simulator game.
What? No.
You have Steam, right?
I don't have a PC. Yes, I have just the Xbox, yeah.
Okay.
Look at Eddie tithing away, just hitting... This is a great game. Common website hit, yes.
Yeah, no, I went into my Steam account and I pulled up the game that I had the most hours logged playing. Is what I did. Tim. So now, you personally, you're going to love this one. I gave this to one of my friends as a gift on Steam. That's why I was hoping you had an account, because then I would have. Oh, you know what? I can't share the screen because this is someone else's sharing.
Hold on.
That's good.
How the fuck did you send this to a friend as a gift game, and they're like, how they're not getting the wrong message?
I don't talk to them anymore.
Okay, there you go.
Anyhow, there you go, Timmy. The game is called Shower with Your Dad Simulator. It's a very fun game. So,
is it a QuickTime event game?
It can be.
Okay, I got to shake that joystick back and forth. Yeah.
If you're real good at it, it's pretty quick. But otherwise, it could take a while, Tim. Depends on your charisma score. So, yeah, Kid Free is the fucking dog. And then we cut back to the worst werewolf transition I've ever seen in a movie.
It's pretty bad.
Period. End of story. They use CGI to make it look like parts of it are swelling.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what it looks like? You remember on Tim when somebody would have a screensaver and all it would do was it would do a little twirl on whatever your current desktop was and it would move around the screen? It looked like they did that to the film of this guy.
$7 million
budget.
Come on. Yeah, this is where the movie fucked up, so because I thought this movie's going to fucking end with a bang. Because, yo, dude, let all the fucking dogs go. And let your fucking smart-ass fucking dog tell all the other dogs, dude, we got to fucking join up together as a fucking group and kill this fucking werewolf.
That is a great idea.
I know.
And you can queue up.
Give me a movie. Come on, people. Come on.
Tim. So you release all of the fucking dogs at the pound, right?
And look, this dog is the smartest dog, right? He's a great actor. He can communicate to all the other dogs. This is what's been going on. We're dogs. This is a fucking werewolf, man. Come on.
Mm-hmm.
We're number two on the dog chain now. Food chain.
Right. So they all line up behind him, and it's like Braveheart, right?
Yes.
And it's like, for glory, and they all go running. You cue up Leader of the Pack by the Shangri-Las. Right?
Yep.
As he's running. It's beautiful, right? Come on. So, okay. But that doesn't happen. Instead, Ted gives this, like, speech to his sister about, like, how come you always have to be right, Janet? God damn it. You should have listened
to
the dog.
Yeah. You hack.
You should have listened to the dog. I love it. So, anyhow, they race home. Now it's this big race between the werewolf, the dog, the kid on the bike, the cops that's taking a nap, I guess. I don't fucking know, because nobody knows what's happening in this town. And they get back to the house. The mom's running up the stairs. I got to give credit to this one. Dumps a grandfather clock
good
on
move.
The fucking werewolf.
It's a good move, yes.
Yeah. And that fucking rules. Then she runs up, goes to hide in her son's room. And it's like, wait a minute, my kid's not here. Oh, well. Then Thor runs in the back with the kid. Like, mom, Thor jumps on the werewolf. This dog actor might not have been that great because it just started humping him.
Look, you won the fight, right? So,
yeah, I guess maybe he's using the old Yobo defense. But since dogs don't have opposable thumbs,
that's what he's trying to do. He's trying to stick his dick up the human's ass and make him submit.
Yeah, he's trying to become the alpha of the pack. And we get this epic dog versus werewolf battle where a man in a terrible werewolf costume tosses a stuffed dog around.
Yeah, but this is probably the worst part of the movie because at any point,
so
this werewolf is ripping that dog's head off. But the way that he's swiping at this dog, yeah. It's done.
Done.
Yes, done.
Yeah, one paw, bam, done. This would be like if you're watching the X-Men, right? And Wolverine tears everybody apart.
But he gets taken down by Mosquito.
Then all of a sudden, Toad, he can't cut. And you're like, come on, Toad? What the fuck are we talking about? Or the guy that can translate languages, Cypher. That remember that fucking guy? He can't understand every language, but he has the power to translate anything from one language to the next.
That's gotta be fucked up.
Cypher, that's a Marvel.
Jesus Christ, yeah.
That's a Marvel superhero. Look at what a shit power, man. God damn. Anyhow. So they fucking chucks the dog into the ceiling light fixture. Then mom unloads the goddamn revolver with 8 rounds into the dude. Then the dog hops up and pushes both of them out the window. It's like fucking Hans.
What's great about this movie is tower, this dude. Is all it happening rules. Like 6 minutes. This movie is ending in 6 minutes with all the shit that's happening. It all happens at one time. That's done.
Yeah, the movie's over now, basically, because all that happens is they both then stand up. The werewolf, Ted, runs into the woods. The dog runs in there and, like, can hear the family telling him, finish it. Or no, the dog. Ted does. Ted tells him, finish, come on, do it. Finish it.
Yeah.
And the dog.
How great would this movie have been if this movie ends with Michael Paré getting fucking doggy style by this fucking German Shepherd?
Oh,
that's how I'm going to end it. This is my dominance, right? That's it. Now you're my bitch.
And they play Snoop Dogg, doggy style, while it's happening. That would be, oh, man. They could have, too. Well, doggy style was, 92?
Maybe another couple of years, yeah. Get the music rights. Come on.
And then doggy style came out in 93. So they had 3 years to line that up.
Yeah, by the time it's a little bit, it's going down the charts, so.
Yeah.
Well, back then, Snoop Dogg wasn't the whore that he was now. Where, like, whatever it is, fair. I can be on it. I'll make some money. Go ahead.
Martha Stewart cooking show? Sign me up. So, this fucking guy. Okay. So, then the dog, I guess, just rips his nuts off and kills him. Now, cut to, they're back at the house fixing it up and repainting it, telling Thor he's a hero. Thor turns into Gozer from Ghostbusters real quick. Dives at the camera. The mom wakes up. It was just a nightmare. Fucking stupid.
First of all, this dog should be getting steak for the rest of his fucking life, right? You were going to have me put down. You're going to have me destroyed, okay? I am puppy age dog going into a shelter. Yeah.
Was already fucking the mom. So, because he assumes the alpha position over Uncle Ted, who was going to fuck them off. He
takes over now, yes. Right. She's sucking the doghouse. Literally. Yeah. Oh, my God. She's sucking the doghouse.
Stuck in the doghouse. There's a new porn for you, Tim Yobo. No, I was saying the great ending would be if the dog, after he killed Uncle Ted, did develop a taste for human blood, went into the house and ripped apart the mom and the son.
Yes, that's right. Look at the and go, the chef told you, bitch.
Huh? Yep. But then the dog has to like drop a ball out of its mouth and be like, you should have listened to the sheriff, and then kill him.
He's and such a good it. Dog. Fucking, how the fuck could you ever fucking give this dog away? Jesus Christ, lady. Jesus fucking Christ.
Peer pressure, I guess, Tim. Just peer pressure. That's it, though. That's Bad Moon from 1996. So, wow. What a journey it's been, Tim.
True.
Talking about this fucking movie. So, again, don't have to watch it.
It is a hangover movie. You can watch it if you don't want to.
It is in the bank. Yeah, that's fair. If you're not watching WrestleMania this weekend, you can watch that. So, good times, buddy. So, Tim, I got to ask you, man. Is there anything you would like people to pay attention to on this beautiful internet of all of ours?
Well, let's see. Like I always say, pay attention to us. Give us 5 stars or give us money. Whichever one you want.
Mm-hmm.
Pay attention to Grindband, Mustacha Podcastio, Everything I Learned from Movies, Knowledge Fight, and I'm going to throw QAnon Anon into it also.
Hey. Okay. Yeah. And like Tim said, if you want to get access to the Blood Bank as well as our bonus episodes and all of our video episodes, just go to patreon.com/bloodybits and sign up. Tim?
Mm-hmm.
Looking at the Blood Bank, we got some new additions here,
so,
bud.
Every couple of days is a new addition, so.
We do. Yep, yep. So this is a movie from 1975 called Coonskin. It says it's a multi-layered satire of race relations.
Yeah.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. That's all. You know the movie. I know the movie, yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I had to call that one out in particular because it's the most recent movie that was added, mm-hmm. so. Just to show you kind of the variety that we've got going on here. We've got Killing Spree from 1987.
Okay.
That stars, what the fuck is this person's name? Asbestos Felt.
He was on fire at that time. Yeah.
I guess so. He caused mesothelioma. So this one is from 1987. Tom feels his wife is cheating on him. It doesn't take long for his paranoia to get the best of him, and he begins to murder the men he thinks his wife is sleeping with. Tom has the most inventive and gruesome ways of dealing with these unfortunate chaps.
Chaps?
Yeah,
that's a weird term. Okay,
that's a decision. Yeah. The only review I found for it was... by this guy named Ken Hankey, and he says they don't make them any worse.
Okay, well, so that's why it's on the Blood Bank, yes.
It's a ringing endorsement, yeah. And so, yeah, again, patreon.com/bloodybits, buddy. You get access to all that stuff. Fun times. So, yeah, Tim, I think that's it, man. Mm-hmm. I think we've covered Bad
this
Moon.
This is how we end it, yes.
So, yeah, Tim, you are right, man. This is how we end it.